Afternoon, 3 to 6, right here on KRXA 540. With great guests, hot topics, and a little humor, we help you navigate in today's world. More information, web streaming, and archives at peterbcollins.com. The Peter B. Collins Show, afternoons 3 to 6 on KRXA 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Karen Riegel. The military is being accused of making up dramatic stories about the death of an NFL star turned soldier in Afghanistan. Members of Congress heard about it today, as we hear from CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss.
Tillman's family told the committee his death was used by the Pentagon to create a heroic story while they deliberately withheld the fact he was killed by his own troops. An Army Specialist, Brian O'Neill, who was crouched next to Tillman when he died, said the cover-up started immediately. He told his superiors what happened, but was ordered not to tell Tillman's brother, who was also serving in Afghanistan.
He made it known that I would get in trouble, sir, if I spoke with Kevin on it being fratricide, sir.
O'Neill said he was told to write a report for Tillman to get the Silver Star, but later someone changed it to say Tillman died fighting the enemy. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
The fight goes on between President Bush and congressional Democrats over funding for the war in Iraq. Here's CBS News White House correspondent Mark Noller.
They're at each other's political throats on the war funding bill. Vice President Cheney blasts Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid for playing politics with the issue.
It is cynical to declare that the war is lost because you believe it gives you political advantage.
Reid said that didn't merit a response, though he took a swipe at Cheney just the same.
I'm not going to get into a name-calling match with the administration's chief attack dog.
Despite the president's veto threat, Democrats are still pushing a timetable for U.S. withdrawal from Iraq. Mark Noller, CBS News, the White House.
At least 83 Iraqis are dead after a number of attacks around that country today. The deadliest was in Ramadi. Police say a suicide bomber hit a checkpoint, killing 15. A prison riot in Indiana has sent at least two staff members to the hospital with minor injuries. The private medium security facility houses more than 600 prisoners from Arizona.
This appears to have been a protest riot by the Arizona prisoners. We're told that they are complaining about the lack of programming, and what that means is a lack of activities, lack of classes, lack of job education.
That's reporter Jay Hermasinski. A quake near Santa Rosa, California this afternoon. Early reports have it measuring a 4.5. That's considered a moderate quake. At this point, there are no reports of injuries or damage. Lawmakers in Mexico City are expected to legalize abortion there this afternoon. It is not a decision without controversy in the largely Catholic country.
Aborto, sí, aborto, no.
Eso lo decido yo.
The bill would allow abortion up to the 12th week of pregnancy. For the first time ever, Toyota has sold more cars than General Motors. Keith Crane is with Automotive News Magazine.
They have high quality, they have good value, and they have a distribution system with automotive dealers that cannot be surpassed. And that's one of the reasons why they have just kept their head down, and they have been blocking and tackling for the last 50 years, little by little.
This is CBS News.
Farmers Insurance brings you this important message about the coming storm season. As you know, the best defense... That's why our agents are among the best in the business. It's not just... So be prepared this coming storm season. Call 1-800-FARMERS for an agent near you. That way, you'll be as prepared as...
Risk an important presentation by letting just anyone print it. Trust Office Depot for guaranteed on-time professional-looking documents. And WorkLife Rewards members receive 15% back on qualified design, print, and ship depot purchases. Just bring us your document or go online at officedepot.com and let Office Depot lend you a hand. Minimum purchase spend required. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
The Dow closed up 34, ending the day just after the record 13,000 figure. Researchers say they found a genetic link when it comes to some forms of blindness.
Variations in two specific genes can signal eventual blindness for people with macular degeneration, the leading cause of vision loss in people over 55. That's the finding of a study in the Journal of the American Medical Association. No surprise to Harry Meyer, he has the disease.
I believe that there is a genetic connection because my grandfather had very, very poor eyesight toward the end of his life.
Changes in both genes, smoking, and obesity raise the risk of blindness 19-fold in people with this disease. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
Popcorn seems fairly benign, making it another story. The Labor Department saying it's going to up inspections at popcorn plants that make buttered-flavored popcorn using the ingredient diacetyl. OSHA has found that an increase of lung disease follows that ingredient. I'm Karen Riegel, CBS News.
Your name means a lot to you, but in the wrong hands, it can mean more to someone else. With Wachovia, if your identity is ever stolen, dedicated fraud specialists will work with you one-on-one to help recover any lost funds. And they'll stick with you until your identity is restored. Protecting your good name. Another feature of Wachovia Free Checking. Stop by, call 800-WACHOVIA or visit Wachovia.com. Are you with Wachovia?
Free Checking is for personal accounts only. Wachovia Bank N.A. and Wachovia Bank of Delaware N.A. members FDIC.
Schedule your television around your time with a free DVR upgrade from Dish Network. Introducing Dish DVR Advantage, the everything-you-need TV package for one low price. The two-room DVR comes standard. Plus, get over 200 channels, including local channels, and free standard professional installation. Call today, 1-888-499-DISH. Dish DVR Advantage. It's about time. Offer ends 5/31/07. Subject to change without notice. Requires $49.99 activation fee, 18-month commitment, and credit card auto pay with online billing. Restrictions apply, including early cancellation fee.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to another edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your humble host, Peter B., and I'm really glad you found our program.
As I was walking over the highway, I saw above me an endless skyway. I saw below me a golden valley. Yeah, this land was made for me.
Today's broadcast of the Peter B. Collins Show is dedicated to the memory of David Halberstam, a great American, a journalist, an author, a lover of sports, a man who spent a long time trying to get to the bottom of America's involvement in Vietnam. He died yesterday in a car accident on the San Francisco Peninsula. We've got a lot to talk about today, and I hope you can stay for every minute, but I will forgive you if you can't. Coming up in about a half an hour, we'll have a touching conversation with Karen Meredith. Her son, Lieutenant Ken Ballard, was killed in Najaf, Iraq in 2004. And 15 months later, the Pentagon acknowledged that they'd lied to her about the circumstances of her son's death. We'll lead into that segment with the powerful testimony of Kevin Tillman before Henry Waxman's committee in the Congress earlier today. A stunning indictment of the Pentagon and the Bush administration. And speaking of indictments, Elizabeth De La Vega returns to our program today. She served as a U.S. attorney in San Jose, California. She authored the book, The U.S. versus George W. Bush et al. And she also has written a piece called The Problem with Alberto. We're going to talk about the Gonzalez case with her and then get a second slice from Jason Leopold, our investigative reporter from truthout.org. That's all coming up next hour. Then we'll be taking your calls in the free speech zone and pause for an impeachment update from Bob Furtick of Democrats.com. We understand that at this very hour, Dennis Kucinich in Washington is announcing his bill of impeachment against Vice President Dick Cheney. And a quick program note. Tomorrow at this very time, 3 p.m. Pacific, we'll be joined for the hour by David Ray Griffin, the theologian who has led the charge for the 9/11 truth movement. He's got a powerful new book out. He just can't stop. It's called Debunking 9/11 Debunkers. And we'll talk about as much of it as we can. That's coming up tomorrow here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Our first guest today is Dr. David Loy. He served as a research psychologist at Princeton University. He also was at the Neuropsychiatric Institute of the UCLA School of Medicine. He wrote the award-winning book, The Healing of a Nation. And you would think that he is retired and living comfortably in Carmel. I don't know how comfortable he is because he and his wife are in the process of releasing 22 new books that they have written. And we're going to talk about at least one of them today. Dr. David Loy, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Well, it's good to be here.
What do you do in your spare time?
Well, I try to sit on myself, keep myself from writing more books, darn it. Got to live, you know.
Yeah. Well, I think first up we should direct people to your website there so that they can get the full lowdown on your books, and that is BenjaminFranklinPress.com, and that's located in Carmel, BenjaminFranklinPress.com, and that's where you can get the lowdown on Dr. Loy and his wife, Rihanna Esler, and they are in the process, as we mentioned, of publishing all these books, and I'm surrounded by notes here. First of all, tell me about your interest in Charles Darwin and in the book Bankrolling Evolution, which is recently released, subtitled Money, Politics, and Science. You describe in some detail the unpublicized work, kind of the second half of Charles Darwin. He was not just a survival of the fittest kind of guy.
No. See, I've written a Darwin anniversary cycle of six books to begin to get across the magnitude of what's been ignored and suppressed, in a sense, for 100 years. It's the rest of Darwin. And the reason I'm starting out with a book, Bankrolling Evolution, that is right out, bang out, anti-Bush, and it, if I do say so myself, it's an updated scientific expose of Bush and the Bushites. The reason I'm starting out with that one is to make the connection between, see, to most people, Darwin is this remote figure, this beloved icon for some, but for others, he's the Satan of survival of the fittest and selfish genes. I'm starting out with the Bush thing in order to root the thinking of the reader in the big question here is, how are we going? Are we moving backward? Are we being checked in place? Or are we moving forward in evolution?
Mm-hmm.
And Darwin is the logical figure to grab people's attention. And the fact that for 100 years, in the book that he says, this is, I'm writing now about human evolution. I'm moving on from animals to human evolution. In The Descent of Man, he only writes twice about survival of the fittest.
Mm-hmm.
He only writes 12 times about selfishness. What is he writing about? He's writing 95 times about love. He's writing 92 times about neural sensitivity. I can go through, there's a whole list of these things, including his tremendous interest in everything that's of primary interest to educators and parents these days, and particularly the brain and the mind and all that. He's foreshadowing the whole eruption of humanistic psychology, Maslow and all that.
Mm-hmm.
This has been overlooked and pushed under for 100 years, and that's why I'm writing six books to really bring up the whole story.
Mm-hmm. Dr. David Loy is our guest, L-O-Y-E, and the book we're talking about is one of the series of the Darwin Anniversary Cycle. It's book one, Bankrolling Evolution, Money, Politics, and Science. And you make the point, too, that Darwin was a philanthropist.
Oh, yeah. He was, this is one of the things that led me to it. I thought, there's something wrong here. Here is this man who, if you read any decent biography, he comes across as a lovable guy with a good sense of humor and actually more of a liberal and a progressive than a conservative or a regressive. What's with this whole thing about survival of the fittest and selfish genes that is ascribed to him.
Mm-hmm.
And the inconsistency led me into discovering, among other things, just one of a number of examples. Here is a man, he lived in this little town of Down, a little village of Down, south of London. And during the times of boom and bust, according to the classic capitalist model that Marx and Engels picked up on, you know, made a revolution out of it, Darwin was concerned. He formed personally a Down Friends Club to collect money from the people in the village during the lush years and then dole it out to the people who were needy during the lean years.
Mm-hmm.
And plus, here's the world's greatest scientist at the time. He is also a master investor. He's investing those funds in railroad stocks. That was the Silicon Valley of those days.
Sure.
And he's hovering over expanding the fund for the local people there. That's just one of a number of acts of philanthropy with this magnificent man.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm looking at chapter 10 of your book, David Loy, where you take a look at George W. Bush, King George, our own.
Yeah.
And you cite Justin Frank, a psychiatrist whom I've had the pleasure of interviewing several times. He wrote Bush on the Couch, Inside the Mind of the President. And you go into some detail here on your thinking about the mental state of the president and his capacities and lack thereof. You describe him as somebody who carries narcissistic personality disorder and borderline personality disorder. How do we connect that with Charles Darwin, either the first half or the full story of Darwin?
To me, the quickest connection is this. Had we been told by all the Darwinian authorities about the rest of Darwin, I found only four people in all of the 20th century who really got onto it and wrote about it in tune with what he was actually saying. Had we been sensitive to those findings, had we lived by that kind of theory and story of evolution, we would not have had a president as pathological a president, as pathological a set of advisors to the president, or as pathological a set of followers of Bushism in America as we have to climb out of now. We would not have had the political, economic, and spiritual swamp that we've been sunk into. That to me is a quick connection.
Yeah, yeah. And it is stunning when you analyze Bush in a distant or an objective way and see his behavior, see how his speech patterns match up with the characteristics of these conditions you describe, and just in general his sloppy thought process, which is unfortunately in greater and greater view all the time.
Well, see, and one of the things that irritates me, now, you know, my basic training is as a psychologist. I've gone on from there. I'm now technically an evolutionary system scientist or an evolutionary action scientist. But one of the things that irritates me, you mentioned Justin Frank.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Justin Frank was one of the few psychiatrists. Now, you go around and you talk to any psychiatrist, and privately, they'll tell you, oh, my gosh, we've got a madman for a president. And the bulk of them will say it's a real bad case of narcissistic personality disorder. And I'd like to run through the the symptoms real quick for you in a minute.
Okay. I'll tell you what. Let's take a break because I need to do that now, and then we'll come back and we'll have time to talk about that. And I also want you to describe for us the global sounding. I think this is a fascinating concept that I want our listeners to know about.
Okay.
Dr. David Loy is our guest, and if you want to read one of the 22 books that he and his wife are releasing in the next year and a half, go to BenjaminFranklinPress.com. More in a moment right here on The Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Do you wish your dentist listened to you?
Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens, he cares.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey and the Old Granary Building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Here's what people are saying about the hottest new show in town.
Joe, thank you so much for being here.
I want to wish you the best of luck with this. I think it's a great service.
Hey, drink up, all you people.
12-Step Talk Uncensored will retake the shame and blame out of addiction. Join me, Sheila Gale, Saturday afternoons, 4 to 5. 12-Step Talk Uncensored. It's about time.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
We got a president so bad, gotta be the worst we ever had. Got the job 'cause of his dad, now we're all in danger. He come around up to no good, broke the old treaties 'cause he could. Struts all around like a hood, got us in a world of trouble. Put him in a straitjacket, there's no doubt. Let the psychiatrist figure him out. Listen while the demonstrators cheer and shout. We'll all feel better in the morning.
Yeah, yikes, McGee. Let the psychiatrist figure him out. We're talking with Dr. David Loy. His new book, part of a series in the Darwin Anniversary Cycle, is called Bankrolling Evolution. In it, he cites Dr. Justin Frank, the author of Bush on the Couch, And he builds on that work and defines George W. Bush as suffering from narcissistic personality disorder and borderline personality disorder. And Dr. Loy, why don't I read these nine characteristics of NPD, narcissistic personality disorder, and you can offer a little comment after each one.
Great.
Number one, has a grandiose sense of self-importance. For example, exaggerates achievements and talents, expects to be recognized as superior without commensurate achievements.
Well, you got that all the time. You know, you got that when he pops on that that carrier and says, mission accomplished, you know, that's an example of that.
Mm-hmm. Number two, is preoccupied with fantasies of unlimited success, power, brilliance, beauty, or ideal love, or maybe the flip side, torture.
Yeah. Well, we see that all the time. You know, he shows up for that big conference in Europe. All the great leaders are over there, and this guy unloads his power bike, goes powering around, and that was the famous conference where he winds up pouncing on the German chancellor, the woman, and rubbing
right.
her shoulders and
mm-hmm.
so on.
Yeah.
It's just, he's loony.
Well, and there are a number of other examples at that same conference of inappropriate behavior. At one point, the British Prime Minister, Tony Blair, came up to him in a kind of obsequious
yeah.
way, and Bush is chewing on food and kind of talking, "Hey, Blair, thanks for that sweater you got me for my birthday." It was just embarrassing.
Oh, God.
Number three, believes that he or she is special and unique and can only be understood by or should associate with other special or high-status people.
Well, this comes across all the time. You know, we're seeing it in writ large right now in this whole thing where he's maintaining that he's just going to veto whatever the Congress tries to pass to try to scale the war back into something that's halfway sane.
Mm-hmm. Number four, requires excessive admiration.
He is surrounded. The symptomology there, or the what reflects that, is he's surrounded with a bunch of yes men, yes women, toadies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Toadies and suck-ups.
Harriet Myers. Has a sense of entitlement, unreasonable expectations of especially favorable treatment or automatic compliance. Well, come on. What's her name? The late great governor of Texas who said that, you know, he was born on third base and thought he hit a triple. Ann Richards.
Yep. Well, she was good on his father, too, born with a silver spoon in his mouth.
Right, yeah. Is interpersonally exploitive, that is, takes advantage of others to achieve his or her own ends.
Now, this runs all through his career as governor and now as president. It's the cleverness, this interpersonally exploitive. He's a very capable, accomplished, interpersonal exploitive type,
mm-hmm.
very definitely.
A poser and a user. And the last three, we're going to run out of time here, so let me just mention them. Lacks empathy, is often envious of others, shows arrogant, haughty behaviors or attitudes, and I think we can agree those define George W. Bush. Now, I want to turn to what I think is the centerpiece of your book, A Global Sounding. Tell us what this is and why it shows how we are really evolving backwards. We're devolving right now.
Well, we're devolving only under the Bush and the Bush policies. We're still basically a healthy organism striving to shed the pathology. What the instrument is, it comes out of many years. I was a co-founder of a group of multinational, multidisciplinary scientists, and we worked for the past two decades now. And out of that, I identified 15 basic indicators of evolution, starting with cosmic evolution and biological and brain and up to psychology, but adding, for science, a major step, adding moral evolution and spiritual evolution
mm-hmm.
and action, 15 basic indicators. What I developed then, since I've got a long background in measurement development, was a global measure of global health and well-being.
Mm-hmm.
And the striking thing in relation to the Bushites was that we did the pilot test on the Bush policies, and before we did it, I figured, well, they're going to strike out on, you know, the obvious ones relating to the environment. That'll show up maybe five or six.
But they were 0 for 15. I'm sorry to steal your thunder, but we're out of time here, Dr. Lori.
They struck out on all 15, yeah.
I want to direct people to BenjaminFranklinPress.com, where you can get full information. And it's a pleasure to talk with you. We'll do it again.
Great.
Dr. David Loy, L-O-Y-E. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
I'm Todd, the taxi driver, and on one hand, I'm pretty happy today, but on the other hand, I'm more hacked off than I've ever been in my whole life. I'm happy that presidential candidate Dennis Kucinich is filing articles of impeachment against Vice President Dick Cheney. All I can say is, it's about time. On the other hand, news reports that state that Army officials ordered soldiers that witnessed Pat Tillman's death to lie about the friendly fire incident, this is an outrage. I'm a veteran that served this country proudly, and I can't stand by and allow this cover-up to go unpunished. Any military official that participated in this lie needs to have criminal charges filed against them immediately. A court-martial seems to be too light a sentence for what they did. And any civilian member of this administration that participated in this lie needs to be removed from office and sent to prison. When are we going to tell this administration enough is enough?
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance, Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Please join us Monday nights at 10 p.m. for The Week in Politics with your host, Todd Hurlbert and T.C. Wraith. We'll cover presidential politics, see what's going on in Washington, D.C., and take a look at the local issues. And that taxi guy just might show up with an opinion or two. See you Monday at 10.
Join broadcast journalist Glenn Brooks and the Vibrant Living Network every Saturday from 9 to 10 a.m. and 11 to 12 p.m. for conversations that invoke creativity, well-being, and compassion. Named as the most knowledgeable voice in the field of holistic health and positive living, Glenn takes your calls and comments right here on KRXA AM 540.
Would you like to stop your taxes from paying for war? You can support the War Tax Option Act, which adds a checkbox to your tax form that stops your taxes from funding war. This frees up your tax money to pay for other vital programs that you care about. For more information, call 831-521-6042 or visit wartaxoption.org.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
It's a busy day on the Peter B. Collins Show. Coming up in about an hour, Jason Leopold will join us. He's breaking a story that the man the White House has identified to investigate Karl Rove is under investigation himself. We'll also talk about the shifting stories of Alberto Gonzalez with Jason. And to kick off next hour, Elizabeth de la Vega will return to our program, a former U.S. attorney who knows how those offices work. And we understand that Congressman Dennis Kucinich of Ohio has announced impeachment charges against Vice President Cheney. We'll get the lowdown on that later on in the program today. But first, a very difficult and emotional exchange on Capitol Hill today in the hearing room chaired by Henry Waxman, who chairs now, the Democrat from Los Angeles, who chairs the Government Oversight and Reform Committee. And this brought really out into the open, to me for the first time in a full way, the feelings of the Tillman family. In a moment, you'll hear some of the powerful testimony of Kevin Tillman, who volunteered with his brother Pat after 9/11 to go get the bad guys who attacked our country. And what Kevin Tillman described, unfortunately, is not an isolated case. And after you hear his testimony, we'll be joined by Karen Meredith, who likewise was lied to by the military about the circumstances of her son's death in Iraq. And in the hearing before Congressman Waxman's committee, Kevin Tillman's testimony was followed by Army Specialist Brian O'Neill, who testified under oath that after Pat Tillman was killed, he was told by his superiors to conceal the actual information from Tillman's brother, Kevin. Quote, "I was ordered not to tell him," said O'Neill. And he said he was given that order by then Lieutenant Colonel Jeff Bailey, the battalion commander who oversaw Tillman's platoon. And keep that in mind now as we listen to the emotional but passionate and quite honest and accurate testimony of Kevin Tillman in Washington today.
The most despicable part of what General Kensinger told the American public is when he said, quote, "The results of this investigation in no way diminish the bravery and sacrifice displayed by Corporal Tillman," end quote. This is an egregious attempt to manipulate the public into thinking that anyone who would question this 180-degree flip in the narrative would be casting doubt on Pat's bravery and sacrifice. Such questioning says nothing about Pat's bravery and sacrifice any more than the narrative for Jessica diminishes her bravery and sacrifice. It does, however, say a lot about the powers who perpetrated this.
They're adjusting the microphone there for him.
After the truth of Pat's death was partially revealed, Pat was no longer of use as a sales asset and became strictly the Army's problem. They were now left with the task of briefing our family and answering our questions. With any luck, our family would sink quietly into our grief and the whole unsavory episode would be swept under the rug. However, they miscalculated our family's reaction. Through the amazing strength and perseverance of my mother, the most amazing woman on earth, our family has managed to have multiple investigations conducted. However, while each investigation gathered more information, the mountain of evidence was never used to arrive at an honest or even sensible conclusion. The most recent investigation by the Department of Defense Inspector General and the Criminal Investigative Division of the Army concluded that the killing of Pat was, quote, "an accident." The handling of the situation after the firefight were described as a compilation of, quote, "missteps, inaccuracies, and errors in judgment," which created the perception of concealment. The soldier who shot Pat admitted in his sworn statement that just before he delivered the fatal burst from about 35 meters away, that he saw his target waving hands but he decided to pull the trigger anyway. Such an act is not an accident. It's a clear violation of the rules of engagement. Writing up a field hospital report stating that Pat was, quote, transferred to intensive care unit for continued CPR after most of his head had been taken off by multiple 5.56 rounds is not misleading. Stating that a giant rectangle bruise covering his chest that sits exactly where the armor plate that protects you from bullets is being, quote, consistent with paddle marks is not misleading. These are deliberate and calculated lies. Writing a Silver Star award before a single eyewitness account is taken is not a misstep. Falsifying soldier witness statements for a Silver Star is not a misstep. These are intentional falsehoods that meet the legal definition for fraud. Delivering false information at a nationally televised memorial service is not an error in judgment. Discarding an investigation that does not fit a preordained conclusion is not an error in judgment. These are deliberate acts of deceit. This is not the perception of concealment. This is concealment. Pat is, of course, not the only soldier where battlefield realities reach the family and the public in the form of a false narrative.
And that is, the clip ends there, and it is just a perfect way to lead to an introduction of Karen Meredith, whose son served in the Army, Lieutenant Ken Ballard, and died on the 30th of May, 2004, in Iraq. And she did not find out for 15 months the truth of the circumstances of her son's death. Karen, thank you for joining us. I'm sure this is very difficult to discuss, but I appreciate your courage, and I appreciate how important it is for the American people to know how our government has operated in dealing with families like yours.
It's pretty sad, isn't it?
It really is. What's your comment on Kevin Tillman's testimony today?
Well, there was much cheering in my house. I've met Kevin Tillman once, and I know Mary more. We've met more than that, so I was so proud of them. They had the truth on their side. They were just amazing spokespeople for this is not how you treat Army families. So it was, I'm sure they're exhausted. And after 3 years, they deserve to be treated better than this.
Yeah. Well, and I was thinking of you as I heard Kevin honor his own mother. And you have been very courageous in your own public statements and protests about the war and about your son's death. And I thank you for that, because I can certainly understand that given the loss, that you would want to simply retreat into privacy and avoid the risks and the kinds of brickbats that certainly Cindy Sheehan has received on too many occasions.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we all have.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about what happened with your son and how the military handled the initial notification and then the correction of the information they had given you.
The initial notification came on Memorial Day, so that was kind of not even a good way to start it, as everybody was kind of focused on the military. But they told us that Ken was killed by enemy fire, by a single gunshot wound to the head. That's bad enough, but you go on and you have, you know, you have the memorial. And but something that his escort officer told us at the memorials was that Ken provided covering fire so that two platoons could go back to their base, thereby saving the lives of 60 men. Ken was awarded, for his 384 days in Iraq, he was awarded the Purple Heart, mm-hmm. obviously, and three Bronze Stars, two with Valor. But my concern was that if indeed he had saved the lives of 60 men, was that the proper award for him? So immediately I began asking for the incident report because I wanted to read it to find out if there was any exaggeration. I didn't get the incident report. Actually, I never got the initial incident report. 15 months later, the Army called me up and said they were going to come to my house, and they only come to your house when they have an amended report.
Mm-hmm.
So within 5 minutes, they told me that indeed Ken had not been killed by enemy fire, but that he was maneuvering his tank. He was a tank platoon leader.
Right.
To go home. They had been in battle for several hours, and he was maneuvering his tank, and the unmanned machine gun hit a tree, and a burst from the machine gun actually killed my son.
Mm-hmm.
He was standing in the hatch.
So it was a battleground accident, is that the way to put it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so when you were first told the truth, how did you react?
My son is a fourth-generation Army officer, so I was raised to believe that the Army takes care of the families. My heart was ripped open again, and I just felt so betrayed. My son loved being a soldier, and I know that that would be so painful for him, that he believed the Army when they told him that his family would be taken care of, but we weren't.
And I guess I don't want to try to rationalize this in any way, but Pat Tillman was a celebrity who had some visibility. Mm-hmm. And so to imagine that they treated his death, in a special manner, it's explainable, if not defensible. The Jessica Lynch case that Kevin Tillman cited in his testimony today, most of us believe was simply Pentagon propaganda to try to build support for the war at a time when we hadn't captured Saddam Hussein and many Americans were starting to lose confidence in the Bush administration's policies and the way they were carrying out the war and the occupation. In the case of your son, you must keep asking yourself, why would they do this? Why would they cover up what happened when the original story was, certainly explainable? And why would they wait 15 months to tell you the truth?
All good questions, and especially because within the hour of him being killed, each of the crew member plus the captain had to complete their incident report and report what happened from their viewpoint. So within an hour, it was documented. And all I can imagine right now is that it was incompetence on the part of the captain and the lieutenant colonel, and laziness and disrespect for my son and for his family.
Do you, since this unraveled and they did tell you the truth, have any other investigations determined some other motive for covering up the facts in your son's death?
No. There were actually two Inspector General investigations into Kim's case, why it took 15 months for us to find the truth, and there were missteps and oversights in the handling of the casualty process to the point where I got a letter of apology from the Secretary of the Army and a private meeting with him. So they knew they screwed up pretty badly.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think they blamed it somehow on a new personnel clerk. But this unit lost four men. They didn't lose 400. And one would think that the lieutenant colonel would have had enough respect for my son to make sure that the paperwork was done correctly.
Yeah. We're going to take a break and return in just a moment. We're talking with Karen Meredith, whose son, Lieutenant Ken Ballard, was killed in Najaf, Iraq on May 30th of 2004. 15 months later, they told her the true circumstances of his death. If you have a question or comment, you can join us toll-free right now. Toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372, or send me an email, peter@peterbcollins.com. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Hi, Ed Schultz here. Starting May 14th, The Ed Schultz Show moves to 9 a.m. to noon right here on KRXA 540. So join us for the best in talk radio, news, commentary, and your calls. If it's happening in America, it'll be on The Ed Schultz Show, 9 a.m. to noon, starting May 14th, right here on AM 540 KRXA.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Those who start wars never fight them. Those who fight wars never like them. Those who write laws, they can't recite them.
Michael Fronte and Spearhead here on the Peter B. Collins Show, where we're talking with Karen Meredith, whose son, Lieutenant Ken Ballard of the United States Army, was killed in Najaf in an accident in combat on the, right around Memorial Day of 2004. And as you heard in the first segment, like the Tillman family, she was lied to. And they covered up the accidental death by saying that it was a combat death for 15 months. And, Karen, if you heard the comment of Kevin Tillman today, he listed the language used by some of the investigators and some of the people who've defended their actions in this case, and he summed them up as deliberate and calculated lies. Do you believe that's what happened in your case as well?
Not really. I really think that it was incompetence, that they did not show what are supposedly Army values in honoring a soldier after his death. And so, I agree with Kevin in their case that it was deliberate lies, but I'm not so sure I can say that about ours. I wouldn't rule it out, though.
Yeah. Well, and it's sad that you can't.
Right, right. Well, it just occurred to me when you played the beginning clip, and it hadn't occurred to me until just then that the Army used the same language in the press release announcing the truth about Ken, that this in no way diminishes the heroism. And if anyone thinks that a battle death should be diminished however they're killed, they don't know much about the military.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, Ken was he was on a stop-loss hold. He had actually planned to come home, about 2 or 3 weeks before this incident?
Actually, it was about 6 weeks. He had turned in his weapons. They were ready to come home and march out of Baghdad. We had planned his homecoming party for May 22nd, but they were extended around this time, so 4:15. And they were going to be there for another 120 days. Kenworth killed 6 weeks later.
Tell me how you react to the president's game of chicken with the Congress, where he's trying to set it up so that their bill with timelines and a call to withdraw from Iraq would be vetoed, and it would be the Democrats' fault for, quote-unquote, hurting the troops. And he was specific about it one day recently, where he said that, you know, if they don't give us the money without strings, families and troops are going to suffer. They're going to have to stay in Iraq longer, and it'll be longer before they can come home to their families. Well, and then the next day, his new Secretary of Defense just announced as a flat policy that a one-year deployment lasts 15 months.
Right, and one of Ken's friends is training down in Southern California, and his wife just talked to him. So about a week after the extensions were announced, this soldier who is on his way to Iraq didn't even know that he was going to be there for 15 months instead of 12. It's just not being handled very well, but that's typical of this administration. And for George Bush to put a group of military families in back of him, while he makes this announcement, those were certainly hand-picked families. They wouldn't pick many of the soldiers who and the families who are fighting to support our troops and bring them home.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just more rhetoric from him. But Bush constantly says the same thing over and over and over again, hoping that we'll believe it. Fortunately, the vast majority of the American public is on to him, and I hope that this veto will blow up in his face.
And what is your view of the Democrats in Congress? Do you think they're going as far as they can under the circumstances?
That's just such a hard question.
I know it is.
I think that there are politics. I was back in D.C. in January. We met with 6 congressional offices, and you know, they explained, quote, the politics and how it's going to work, and we don't have the votes, and it's frustrating for the normal people who are back at home, and you know, they just want something to happen. They want the troops to come home, but the games that we play, you know, and for people to, legislators to feel that, well, they'll tell me that I don't support the troops, is just clearly not true.
Yeah. Well, and the Democrats do have a bit of a game of their own going on, where Harry Reid said, you know, this is the president's war, and they're trying to stigmatize the president and the Republicans. Now, I think Reid is you know, making a strong play of a weak hand. I've used that description a few times. At the same time, I'm looking for really strong leadership, for people who are willing to stand up and even lose a vote and say, this is the right vote to take, this is the right position to take at this time. And in my view, the Democrats will ultimately have to confront the ugly reality that the only way to get this president's attention is to cut off the funding.
Right, the power of the person. That's what we said when we marched on Washington in January. If you don't cut off the funds, then we know that you're supporting the war. You're not supporting the troops.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really frustrating because, meanwhile, while everybody is talking about it, how many soldiers have died since January 1st? We've lost 332 soldiers.
Yeah.
So how long do they have this conversation? And it's frustrating for me when Obama says, I'll end it when I'm the president, and Hillary Clinton says, I'll end it when I'm the president. But that's how long is it? You know, too many months.
Yeah, it's 2 years from now.
Yeah, right. And so we have to wait until they get in, and they won't just say, okay, it's time to come home today. You know, so it'll be a timed redeployment for them, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so frustrating that the lives of our young men and women are in the balance while they're, you know, playing their little chess game.
Yeah.
They're being treated like little green army men.
Yeah,
I
think it's shameful. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Karen, I want to thank you again under difficult circumstances for telling your story and helping our listeners understand how the military has been operating. And I know you share the anger of the Tillman family and a desire to be treated as grown-ups with the truth at all times. And maybe that's something we can achieve in this country in the future.
Well, I hope so. And I think that it's just so important, and I'm glad you had me on, that it isn't just the Tillman family, and there are many more of us out there. But I think this put this on a national spotlight, that people understand that the Army needs to improve their their ability to tell us the truth.
Thank you, Karen Meredith.
Thank you so much.
I appreciate you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Karen Meredith, who lost her son, Lieutenant Ken Ballard, in Iraq, and the Army told her the truth 15 months later. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Vote means that our investigation turned up nothing.
Because somebody testifies lying before a grand jury doesn't mean he's involved.
It is flat out absurd. Bush was begging that governor on the Sunday before the hurricane hit to get people out of there and to declare an emergency.
It's all crazy propaganda. The Joseph Goebbels Network.
Bush was on the phone with her. They were thinking about sending the military in because the state and local people weren't acting fast enough.
It is certain that some self-possessed judge somewhere will soon rule that three men are three women can live. Yet Iraqis are united in a broad and deep conviction. 12 government ministries are currently under the direct control of Iraqis. I don't think that's too high a standard.
If you've retired, you don't have anything to worry about. Probably say it three more times. See, in my line of work, you've got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in. You've got to catapult the propaganda.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Pentagon story about Pat Tillman's death started off as fiction.
There was dramatic testimony at a hearing into the death in Afghanistan of former football star Pat Tillman and the way the Pentagon lied about it.
General Motors is the king of cars no more.
Shed a tear. It's the end of an era.
For the first quarter of this year, Toyota has become the largest selling automaker in the world.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Harley Carnes. The story of the death of former NFL star and Army Ranger Pat Tillman was managed by the Pentagon, an initial bit of fiction.
Committee Chairman Henry Waxman pointed to memos showing top Pentagon brass knew the truth about Tillman's death, even as false stories were being told at his funeral.
Sensational details and stories were invented.
Army Specialist Brian O'Neill was on the Afghan hillside when he and Tillman came under fire from their own troops.
And basically shot at us in waves or bursts of rounds.
He said the cover-up started immediately. His superiors all knew because he told them, but they wouldn't let him tell Pat's brother Kevin, who was also serving in Afghanistan.
When I was able to speak with Kevin, I was ordered not to tell him what happened, sir.
Kevin Tillman testified too.
We believe this narrative was intended to deceive the family, but more importantly, to deceive the American public.
He asked Congress to try to get at how high up this cover-up went. Bob Fuzz, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
On Monday, Democrat Harry Reid said the vice president does a disservice to his office. Dick Cheney today on Reid's strings to war funding.
What's most troubling about Senator Reid's comments yesterday is his defeatism. Indeed, last week, he said the war is already lost. The timetable legislation that he is now pursuing. Guaranteed defeat.
Reid's retort.
I'm not going to get into a name-calling match with the administration's chief attack dog.
Now this.
Yeah, Dave, Ted here. Hey, tomorrow at 522, a forklift is going to smash right into our conveyor system. Really bust it up good, okay? You should be getting a call about 523. Just wanted to give you a heads up. Thanks.
In your job, you don't get warnings. So Grainger's just added a massive amount of material handling products to help get you through whatever the day brings. We're adding products and removing problems. Casters and wheels to carts and conveyors. We have what you need to move, handle, and store just about anything. Call or visit your local branch or go online to Grainger.com. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Got a question. What's the worst thing about buying a used car? Could it be the uncertainty of not knowing what you're really getting? Bingo! Now I have an answer. Honda Certified Used Cars. They're well-maintained late-model Hondas. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection, then is backed with an incredible 7-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty and a 12-month, 12,000-mile limited non-powertrain warranty. Did the comfort level just go up in here? Thought so. Honda Certified Used Cars. It's the next best thing to new. See dealer for limited warranty details.
Baseball, hot dogs, apple pie, and Toyota. Just kind of sounds off, doesn't it?
It's a sad day for American manufacturing because Toyota has just overpassed General Motors, which was the leading automotive manufacturer for the last almost 100 years.
Keith Crane in Automotive News, CBS's Anthony Mason.
it's not really a surprise. GM saw this coming. Everybody else did, too. Toyota's been coming up on the inside in the fast lane for a while. And GM has really been trying to get out of some trouble here, and they knew they were going to get passed.
Americans are the biggest reasons Toyota took the lead. GM sells more cars nowadays outside the U.S. There was nasty weather all over in March, kept people from going out to look at homes, and it's harder to get a mortgage now. Sales of existing homes went down by 8.4% in the month.
This is going to be a sluggish couple of months until we get into summer, and then we hope that we'll see some gains going forward.
That's David Luray at the National Association of Realtors. Weather is improving. Mortgage makers say they're getting things sorted out. A prison riot in Indiana is ending. Police move block to block, clamping down, cleaning up. At Newcastle Correctional, a medium-security prison.
The problems originated between inmates with Indiana and Arizona. What those problems were, what that situation was, is unknown at this time.
State Police Sergeant Rod Russell says two staff members were hurt. No word yet on injured inmates. The Arizona inmates were imported to Indiana to relieve overcrowding back home. As expected, the Mexico City Council members have passed a bill to legalize abortion on demand for any woman up to 12 weeks pregnant. The bill was widely opposed by the majority Roman Catholic population, but the vote in the city legislature was 46-19 to do it. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Farmers Insurance brings you this important message about the coming storm season. As you know, the best defense... That's why our agents are among the best in the business. It's not just... So be prepared this coming storm season. Call 1-800-FARMERS for an agent near you. That way, you'll be as prepared as...
Risk an important presentation by letting just anyone print it. Trust Office Depot for guaranteed on-time professional-looking documents. And WorkLife Rewards members receive 15% back on qualified design, print, and ship depot purchases. Just bring us your document or go online at officedepot.com and let Office Depot lend you a hand. Minimum purchase spend required. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Part of what steals vision from seniors is in the genes.
One in four people over age 75 goes blind because the part of the retina.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from the dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
Elections are planned distractions to divert attention from the action behind the scenes.
What has been going on behind the scenes?
Like a game of chess when the house is a mess, or a petty money squabble when your marriage is in trouble, or a football game when there's rioting in the streets. It's just another movie. Another song and dance. Another poor sucker who never had a chance.
This hour on the Peter B. Collins Show, we're going to take a look at the case of Alberto Gonzalez. We get two perspectives. But there's breaking news today that we cannot ignore, and our timing, I believe, is quite interesting. Elizabeth De La Vega joins us right now. She served as a federal prosecutor, one of those career prosecutors that Alberto Gonzalez talked about so fondly. She was a member of the Organized Crime Task Strike Force and chief of the San Jose branch of the U.S. Attorney's Office there. Elizabeth De La Vega, welcome back to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Well, thanks for having me.
You also wrote the book that we have discussed on two or three prior occasions, United States versus George W. Bush et al. And in the last hour, Dennis Kucinich, congressman from Ohio, candidate for president, has announced that he is filing articles of impeachment against Dick Cheney, the vice president. Tell me your reaction.
Well, I'm very excited, and I've read them, and they are extremely well done. They're actually brilliant because they're just very, very simple. But they set forth the case about the Vice President Cheney's involvement in defrauding the public about the pre-war intelligence, both specifically regarding the weapons of mass destruction and the connection between Iraq and Al-Qaeda. And then the third article relates to Vice President Cheney's ongoing attempt now to do the same thing with regard to Iran.
Mm-hmm.
So they're very, very well done, and I'm very excited about them.
And in there, do you see any of the product of your work?
Well, I don't know if I can go that far, but certainly many of the same facts and the same conclusions are contained in there. The articles list various misrepresentations about the weapons of mass destruction, the biological weapons, and so forth, many of which looked familiar to me based on my work. And the same thing with the so-called connection between Iraq and Al-Qaeda.
Well, Betsy, you are far too modest. And on behalf of your publisher, I must tell you that you wrote a powerful book that laid the groundwork and really, I think, helped persuade many people that there is a very strong case against Bush and Cheney.
Well, I'm glad to hear it, and if that happened, I'm very happy to hear it. And as far as I'm concerned, everyone who's spreading this message should take credit and just go forward with it, because it's definitely something that the people need to hear.
Well, I understand that, but I just have to identify generosity as a strong suit of yours. Now, in the same breath, at least in the same news story that I just read about the Kucinich bill of impeachment against Cheney, the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, is saying that Bush and Cheney aren't worth impeachment. And I have to very deeply disagree with Nancy Pelosi. I've known her for a long time. People who listen to the show know that I worked for her on a campaign once about 12 years ago. And this is so disappointing, because I believe she should let it run its course. She doesn't necessarily have to divert all kinds of resources and attention to it, but I believe that she and every sitting member of Congress has a constitutional obligation to fully consider impeachment and proceed to it if the facts support the indictment.
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more. Nancy Pelosi's statement really is just beyond distressing, because, first of all, this isn't really about Bush and Cheney. This is about the presidency and the Constitution of the United States and whether or not the executive branch has abused its power in the context of the Constitution. So for Nancy Pelosi to say that they're not worth it, she's basically saying the entire system isn't worth preserving. And I know she doesn't mean to say that, but that's really the conclusion that would follow from taking that position.
Well, and even on a pure political basis, it can only help the Democrats to distract the president and the Republicans with even the prospect of impeachment, even if it doesn't go to term.
Right. Well, the main thing here is that we know there are so many grounds for impeachment, and we know that if these people are not stopped in their tracks right now, they're going to continue to do the same kinds of things that they've been doing all along. And we have more than 20 months left in this presidency. And the outline in my book shows that it was about 20 months that spanned the process of the president and vice president misleading the public about the war and actually declaring mission accomplished, quote unquote, on May 1st. So a lot can happen in 20 months.
And a strike on Iran is something that many of us have been deeply concerned about, that intelligence suggests is still possible, that we have deployed our assets in a way that in short order could be brought to, could be trained on targets in Iran. And we know the intention, particularly of Dick Cheney, to pursue a deeply misguided strategy. And, he seems totally oblivious to the risks and the fallout that would occur, and fallout may or may not be nuclear in that case.
Right, and I'm not sure. I don't think any of us can ever really understand Dick Cheney, because he doesn't operate by the same rules, because it's equally likely to me that he wants there to be chaos in the Middle East based on all the statements from his group and the Project for New American Century and so forth. So whether he's oblivious or whether that's what he wants, the fact is that he is going around making the same kind of statements about Iran that he made about Iraq, equally unfounded. And we already know that they're sending aircraft carriers over there and so forth, and there's an abundant quantity of evidence that indicates they're very much planning to strike it around.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's again troubling that the Democrats had language in the bill that's now snaking its way to a veto at the White House that explicitly said that congressional approval was required before any non-defensive attack on Iran.
Right, and talking about politically, as you mentioned before with the Democrats, I think they're completely underestimating the American people and not understanding the situation at all right now, because what the American people want is leadership.
Mm-hmm.
They do not want a party that is going to be wishy-washy and really negotiating against itself, which is what they do all the time, and not doing the right thing. I think they would benefit greatly from simply taking a stand and doing the right thing about Iran and about this impeachment thing.
Yeah, I certainly agree. We're talking with Elizabeth De La Vega, and if you just joined us, she wrote the book called United States versus George W. Bush, which really makes the case and shows the crying need to hold accountable the president and vice president of this administration. Got a couple of callers who want to comment on this. Dave and Eureka, you're up. You're on the air. Go ahead, Dave.
Peter and Elizabeth, you know, these Cheney and Bush, they have done so much harm to this country. It is to me surprising that only one man has the courage to pursue impeachment. It's so desperately needed. I dare say that Dennis Kucinich needs to be the president of this country if we hope to get anything accomplished.
All right, Dave, I appreciate that comment. And Elizabeth De La Vega, what happened to the bill of impeachment that was submitted by Cynthia McKinney before she left the Congress last fall?
That was basically dead on arrival, because as soon as she left, nothing was going to happen with it. So she did definitely make the point, but there was never any follow-up.
So did it fail for lack of a second? Was it that sort of a procedural issue?
Yes.
Okay. John in Carmel Valley. John, join us. You're on the air.
I just want to add to the voices about the irony of Dennis Kucinich. He has been saying all along, because I have to admit, I too long ago took him as somebody who I should pay attention to, but not a potential candidate, and I regret that. And the news, almost, I mean, I don't know any reporter that takes him seriously. He is treated as lower than marginal, and yet he's the one that not only did this, filed the charges, but he's been saying the right things all along, and yet I don't know how he can stand pursuing what he's been doing, both being a candidate and a voice for the right thing, because he must know more than anyone else how minimally he's treated. It's just the height of irony. The whole Democratic Party is out of sync with him. He's the only right one right now that's making any noise.
Well, I appreciate your comment. I will say that, you know, I've met with Dennis Kucinich in person four or five times, interviewed him over the phone another four or five times, and I find that he is unswayed by that.
Mm-hmm.
He does recognize, I mean, he knows he deserves better treatment in the media, and I've heard him talk back to Fox News anchors and Chris Matthews as well, saying, you know, you're going to let me talk. You invited me on the show, and all you're doing is arguing with me. So I think he knows the treatment he gets, but he is a very focused man and very committed to these issues, and I have a lot of deep respect for him. John, thanks for the call. We're going to take a break and continue with Elizabeth De La Vega. We'll get another comment or two from her about the impeachment developments, and then move on to an article she wrote that was published at Truth Out last week. 14 different people sent it to me. It's called The Problem with Alberto Gonzalez, of course. That's next on the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
Seize the day and save money. That's the slogan of Stardate Solar, a company providing you with the highest quality solar power for your Monterey Bay Area home or business at the guaranteed lowest price. And that's the idea behind the Stardate Solar Power Hour. I'm your host, Dale Julin. Every Saturday at high noon, our nationally known cast of energy experts will tell you the latest news about the coming solar economy. And you'll also hear about the politics of solar power as well. The Stardate Solar Power Hour, Saturdays at noon and at StardateSolar.com.
Hey everybody, let's take a look at traffic and give you the very latest. Let's talk a little about Gilroy northbound 101 before Maston, a large piece of wood in the second lane from left. Santa Cruz northbound 17 at Paso Tiempo, we have a large piece of debris in both lanes there. Also want to talk about Santa Clara County 152 eastbound after Casa de Fruta. We have a stalled big rig that is blocking the left lane. And in Salinas, Espinosa at Highway 183, it looks like we have a railroad crossing arms that are stuck. Actually, they're going up and down with no train in sight, so you can expect delays there. And the support is brought to you by American Express. American Express is offering exclusive travel packages to 9 sought-after destinations like Hong Kong. With the prices dropping all day, get yours before it's gone at MyLifeCard.com. Terms and conditions apply.
Vega, our guest. Last week, Alberto Gonzalez endured hours of grilling by the Senate Judiciary Committee, and apparently he wore those flame-proof pants. Betsy De La Vega, in your piece about the problem with Alberto, one thing that I didn't see you talk about is the central point about whether Gonzalez lied to the Senate committee back in January, because I think that is the most pressing issue. Certainly the discussion of all the various representations of the process and reasons for sacking 8 U.S. attorneys is interesting and deserves full investigation. But what appears to be most actionable to me is that Gonzalez apparently lied under oath to the senators when he originally addressed the issues related to the firing of those prosecutors. What's your take on that? I know you're more careful, trained as a lawyer and a prosecutor, than a wild man like me.
Well, I don't think you're a wild man, but remind me exactly what he said in that context, because I've had trouble keeping track of all the different things he said.
Okay, well, he explicitly said that they weren't fired for political purposes, mm-hmm. that he didn't have, he had no involvement, was his right. description at the time. And there's one other critical factor in what he said to Senator Feinstein that escapes me right now.
Right. Well, it is hard to remember all the different things that Alberto Gonzalez has said. But you're right. Clearly his statement that he had no involvement is flatly false. That is definitely a lie under oath. And that is actionable. But the way I like to look at it is really the whole set of circumstances, because all that does, of course, is make it even worse. You don't really even need to have a specific false statement under oath when you're considering whether or not, if you're looking at him in terms of impeachment, for example, or mm-hmm. whether or not he should resign, you really can look at the whole set of circumstances, and it's clear that he has not only lied under oath, he's been lying to the American public about it, and beyond that, the conduct he's lying about is clearly an abuse of power of his role as the Attorney General, because even the administration admits that although the Attorney General and the President can hire and fire at will these appointed U.S. attorneys, they can't do it for an improper reason.
Right.
And a partisan political reason, whether it's influencing a prosecution they want to bring against a Democrat or keeping one from happening against a Republican, is improper.
And floundering under oath is not a crime, but...
Floundering under
But what he displayed was his own ineptness, and if he is to be believed from his testimony last week, which was hardly credible, he doesn't really know what's going on in his own department, and now that he's dispatched most of the second-level people, it's a wonder that the Justice Department can function at all. But right. in your piece, you point out the way it has been politicized, and it appears that Gonzalez is simply a conduit through which the White House runs the Justice Department.
Right. It absolutely appears that way, because, first of all, we know that Alberto Gonzalez has this very, very long-standing relationship with George W. Bush, where he has supported him in doing all kinds of illegal and immoral activities, from the death penalty thereon in Texas. And so it's really impossible to believe that Gonzalez is some kind of a rogue person. He's clearly not. And so if you look at his answers, you probably pointed this out on your show already, he said he couldn't recall, I think, about 50 times.
It was more than 70.
Oh, okay. Well, mm-hmm. and one time he said, I can't remember if I can recall.
Yeah.
So that was really a good one.
Well, and he said that he, you know, yes, there was a meeting. My calendar says mm-hmm. I was there, but I have no recollection. And even Jeff Sessions couldn't believe that. He said it was only last November, Al.
Right, right, and he couldn't remember talking to the president about it. So his testimony is intrinsically unbelievable. The mm-hmm. story does not make sense. And when that's the case, you have to think, oh, there have to be lies. And then we already know there are specific lies. So,
and I want to jump ahead. I just have a limited time here, okay. Betsy. You describe the processes and the reporting, and that under Gonzalez, that U.S. attorneys have had to report virtually every action contemplated or taken, and that becomes an opportunity for Washington to take steps to prevent, say, the prosecution of a Jerry Lewis in Southern California, a powerful congressman.
Right. One of the things that Gonzalez tried to say was that in the Attorney General's office, he doesn't even know what people are doing in the districts. Well, that has never actually been true. But under the Bush administration, there's been this new type of report called an urgent report that has to be filed whenever anything happens in a case that involves something that could have a high likelihood of coverage in news media or congressional interest. And mm-hmm. clearly that would involve an investigation of a representative or senator.
And you described that a career prosecutor can build a case but has to report it to Washington, and then the appointed U.S. attorney can deep six it or just sit on it, or there are various techniques they can use to divert that career prosecutor from taking appropriate action.
Well, absolutely. When you have an atmosphere, first of all, where people know that appointed U.S. attorneys are removed because they either didn't do something the administration wanted or were doing something they didn't want them to do, the assistant U.S. attorneys are going to think twice because they need those jobs. But even if they are brave enough and so forth to go forward, they have to fill out these forms. And if the U.S. attorney just sits on the form to open the case, they can't get anywhere. They can't even issue a grand jury subpoena.
Elizabeth, just a couple of seconds remaining. Should Gonzalez be impeached as attorney general, in your opinion?
Well, I think he should not be the attorney general, but I think our major problem is that he reports to George W. Bush and Dick Cheney and Karl Rove, apparently.
Right. Elizabeth De La Vega, thanks for joining us. Read the book, U.S. versus Bush. I'm Peter
thanks.
B. Collins.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
It could get nasty. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. It comes to a head this week. Congress is about to send the president a war funding bill with a timetable for leaving Iraq, and it's DOA.
I will strongly reject Washington politicians trying to tell those who wear the uniform how to do their job.
Except they're not trying to tell those who wear the uniform how to do their job. They're trying to tell you, Mr. President.
And despite the president's happy talk, no progress has been made.
Democratic Senate Leader Harry Reid, who has emerged as the party pooper here, saying it's time to come home, even as he pushes a bill that includes every penny the president asked for and then some. So far, the discussion has maintained a fairly high tone, but did we perhaps get a peek behind the curtain on CNN today when Republican Senator John Kyle was talking about the troop surge in Baghdad?
What if it does work? You've had the majority leader, Harry Reid, say the war is already lost.
Harry Reid. Now, mistakes happen when you're doing lots of interviews, so Senator Kyle was quick to correct what he characterized as a Freudian slip.
It was certainly a Freudian slip if I said anything other than Senator Reid.
Yes, except by definition, a Freudian slip is not really a mistake. A Freudian slip is when you inadvertently say something that you in fact believe. A Freudian slip is when you involuntarily provide your audience with a window on what you're truly thinking. What Senator Kyle meant to say was that it was a slip of the tongue, like
the old Beach Boys song, Bomberan. Bomb, 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 bomb. Anyway.
Yeah, like that one. Good thing these guys don't have radio shows. Now this.
Now you can dial a diamond and save half by calling Empire Diamond at 1-800-SAVE-HALF. Over 70 years in the Empire State Building, they'll sell diamonds wholesale without a middleman's markup. That's right, GIA-graded diamonds at half the price of famous high-end jewelers. Qualified buyers may have diamonds sent to their home or office for a free 10-day no-obligation inspection and get a 60-day money-back guarantee. So save half on your diamonds. Visit at dialadiamond.com or call 1-800-SAVE-HALF. That's 1-800-SAVE-HALF.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
Senator, I can't remember remembering. I remember forgetting, but I can't remember what I remember.
In fact, I think Tommy Lee Jones neuralized Alberto Gonzalez right before he testified last week in the Senate. We're joined now by Jason Leopold, intrepid investigative reporter for truthout.org, the author of a personal memoir called News Junkie, and one busy reporter today. Hey, Jason.
Hey, Peter. How are you? It's actually been a pretty busy week. Not this week, but I'm talking going as far back as last week, you know, with the Gonzalez hearing and now this stunning announcement, if you will, that Karl Rove is being investigated by this obscure office,
mm-hmm.
the Office of the Special Counsel, which I think originally people probably had, including myself, had this reaction like, what? Patrick Fitzgerald is back on the case?
Well,
but it turns out that it is an office which is part of the administration, although it says it's nonpartisan, but it's headed by a Bush appointee,
mm-hmm.
who happens to be under investigation himself.
Well, and all that is because Bernard Kerik turned him down.
I tell you, it's, truth is indeed stranger than fiction.
It certainly is. There's so much to deal with. Well, we'll come back to the Scott Block and this investigation that the White House has proposed. I first want to get some of your comments on the Gonzalez testimony last week, because we spoke about it beforehand.
Yeah.
And it was just amazing to watch him flounder around like a fish on the dock, even, you know, when he was getting friendly questions from his Republican pals.
Exactly. And I have to say that I was actually really surprised as to how much he couldn't recall, questions that he did not answer, because of the stories that I had read, how much time he was spending preparing for this testimony. So, it was somewhat of a shock to, on one hand, think that he is preparing, you know, night and day for this, but then, you know, appears before the committee and just simply does not recall.
Mm-hmm.
I really thought that there were a number of Republicans they truly believe that he, Gonzalez, is just ineffective and should go. And it was somewhat refreshing to hear Lindsey Graham, say that...
this is a stretch.
Yeah, yeah. And he should be held to the same standard. Gonzalez, that is. So,
well, that was actually Coburn, right? Because Coburn of Oklahoma said that he didn't really care much about the politics of all this. He referred to that as a Washington's blood sport.
Right.
But he simply said, you're incompetent the way you've handled this.
Right.
And that you should be subject to the same penalty you imposed on those U.S.
Yeah,
attorneys.
Right. That was Coburn. And it's true. And aside from that, it's just remarkable how, you know, Gonzalez tried to lay the blame at the feet of Kyle Sampson, his former chief of staff, and to say, well, I really didn't know anything that was going on. Truly, I left him in charge. And then that came back to bite him in the sense that, you know, lawmakers said, well, are you saying that, you know, you put such a... such an important topic at the feet of your chief of staff without having any oversight? It just came off as unbelievable, to mm-hmm. say the least. But then to hear President Bush say, I have even more confidence
right.
in him, which he, by the way, followed up, or I should say his spokeswoman, Dana Perino, followed up with, the president has even more confidence. However, he didn't watch the testimony last week.
Right. I mean, that doesn't add up either.
I mean, to actually try to explain this is just it just seems ridiculous, because I think everyone is well aware that he was being, you know, I'm going to say the word, he was lying.
Mm-hmm.
He was simply lying.
Yeah.
He did not answer questions that he definitely knew the answer to. You know, it's even interesting that Bush even said that he answered as honestly as he can.
Right.
Not honestly. He answered as honestly as he can. He answered as honestly as I would allow him to.
Yeah.
You know? And again, it's just taking a line from Harry Reid. You know, he was talking, he was speaking on the yesterday regarding the legislation regarding the funding for Iraq going forward, and he said that you know, President Bush made certain comments last week about progress being made in Iraq, and he said this no less than 10 times, and he said these statements were made in the state of Michigan, but I believe they were made in the state of denial,
yeah,
which is what Reid said, and the same could be said for Gonzalez. And what you know, what Bush is saying is that, you know, he's in denial. I think that he just simply does not want to be pressured, or refuses to bow to any pressure out of stubbornness. But how is this attorney general going to be effective?
Yeah. Well, and still there are huge gaps in the story. And just notably,
yeah.
Feinstein was trying so hard to get him late in the session last Thursday to say, okay, where did this list of people to get fired
right.
come from?
Right.
Because Sampson has said all he did was collect names from other people. And McNulty and other top DOJ officials say nobody asked them who should be sacked.
Right.
And so Gonzalez claims that, you know, at a meeting he can't remember, a memo that he can't remember
right.
From a source that he doesn't know was presented and he approved it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's again, incredible of how much he can't remember that he remembers that he can't remember, you know. But,
well, and in fact, you know, I should do a little count on the Peter Gabriel song and see how many times Gabriel sings, I can't remember, I don't recall.
Right.
And then tally that up and compare it to Gonzalez, because
yeah.
I would bet that Gonzalez said it more than Peter Gabriel does in that song.
He had to. I mean, you know, Peter Gabriel probably, you know, the song's probably 5 minutes top.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, how much, it could be a pretty good contest to see, you know, how many I can't recalls you could get in, you know, in that amount of time. But it's, again, you know, Gonzalez is clearly ineffective, you know, the Bush administration, by pushing him out yesterday, I forgot exactly what he was out there for.
He was out with somebody from the Federal Trade Commission or
yes,
something. I saw the
right.
photo op and I said, oh, that's useless.
But again, that was, you know, that was time specifically to show that the administration is backing him. Will continue to back him out of loyalty,
mm-hmm.
Really, I think that it's President Bush who ultimately made the decision that it doesn't matter what people in Congress say, what advice I've been given. He believes that Gonzalez did nothing wrong. He continues to say he did nothing illegally or improper. Again, tries to hide behind the fact that the president can replace U.S. attorneys at will. But that's, you know, there's certainly no question to that. However, there is questions about why they were replaced, whether it had to do with, you know, investigations that they were heading.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty remarkable. I think that, you know, that he's still there and that he can actually, you know, speak. And think that people are going to take him seriously at this point.
And Jason, on that score, what was the most convoluted answer to me, and it really set off my own BS detector alarm,
yeah.
was when he was asked if he still believed that these people should have been fired.
Right,
and
exactly.
In particular, he singled out David Iglesias
yeah.
in New Mexico, and he said, yeah, he should have been fired because, you know, there were inappropriate contacts by a senator and a congresswoman, and he didn't report that to Washington.
You know, I have to say that it's, you know, you try to, for me, I try to wear the reporter's hat, and obviously, you know, just report the story as I'm receiving the information. But at the same time, you know, it's almost like you're watching a ball game or a basketball game, and you scream out like, "No, you should have made that basket." I mean, it's incredible how I keep using that word, but it really is. You know, how fired up I got from watching that, and how he said, Gonzalez said, that if he had to do all over again, he would still make the same decision
right. In
terms of getting rid of these people.
I'm responsible for the decision I can't remember making, how I made it, when I made it, or who influenced me to make it. But, I'm responsible.
I tell you, it's really, you know, I give members of Congress a lot of credit because they absolutely have shown that they are staying on top of this,
and
they are not letting this go.
Now, the Democrats are making noises about a no-confidence vote. What have you heard about
that? Right, there is no decision on that yet, but basically what they want to do, and I think it's actually a very smart move, and this is where, you know, I get surprised, because if you remember, it's been 7 years, and we really haven't had a full-fledged investigation into anything that the White House has done. So to see, you know, our lawmakers actually follow through, I think that's a good thing. But what they want to do is they want to get Republicans on the record to, you know, it would be, again, a non-binding resolution, but it would force Republicans, you know, to vote how, you know, whether or not they support Gonzalez.
Well, it would also demonstrate if, in fact, there are enough votes to impeach him as Attorney General if it got to that.
Right, and I think that that's something, at least from what I understand, it's a very fluid situation, but they're aiming for next week.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're talking about investigations and subpoenas and into a wide variety of issues in this administration. All seem to be interconnected one way or another,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, I think getting Republicans on the record, forcing them on the record, is a good thing, and it would demonstrate, you know, to at least President Bush that, you know, your Attorney General, if you keep him in place, he has, you know, there's a no confidence vote, and you're going to be hard pressed to get your initiatives across.
Right. Now, Jason, at TrueMajority.org, which is Ben Cohen's activist website, they are promising a year's supply of Ben and Jerry's ice cream to the person who can select the date and time that Alberto Gonzalez resigns. And here's Jordan from California, June 3rd at 10:45 a.m. Deborah from New York, October 11th. She's a real patient one. And a couple of dates have already passed, March 27th, March 30th.
Yeah.
So as you may know, I am hopelessly hooked on Ben and Jerry's ice cream. In fact, I named my love handles Ben and Jerry. And I told Ben Cohen that a few years ago. So what do you think I ought to pick here?
You know, I have to say that despite the fact that they, meaning, you know, the president and Gonzalez himself, are saying that, you know, he won't resign, I think it's important to understand that Congress is going to obtain more information, mm-hmm. that is going to implicate Gonzalez even further.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, since I am a betting man, I would say that you should, you know, aim toward the end of May, early June.
Well, I was actually thinking of the you know, Friday evening zone where you document dumps that you don't want people to notice.
You know,
so I'm going to pick this Friday, April 27th at 6 p.m. Eastern time.
Wow. That doesn't give me much time to prepare a story, but
I'll be happy to share the ice cream with you.
He needs to go.
Yes, he does.
You can't get more evidence. I mean, if there is more evidence, you know, I would say that unless it's an actual dead body and a smoking gun, literally, I don't know what else is going to get this guy out of office.
Yeah, we're going to take a break and return with Jason Leopold. He'll tell us about his latest story just posted minutes ago at truthout.org about the investigation the White House wants to conduct into the White House. Brilliant. Or as Bono would say, effing brilliant. We can't say the whole thing or it'd be a $300,000 fine. We'll continue in a moment with Jason Leopold. If you have a question or comment, dial in now, toll free, 888-5-PETER-B. You've got the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
It's Behind the Wheel, the Consumer New Car Review. I'm Peter B. Collins. This week, I've been behind the wheel of the 2007 Chrysler Crossfire LTD Roadster, an impressive little sports car with great styling and a beefy six-cylinder engine. My Crossfire demo drew lots of attention, and fortunately, it wasn't from the Highway Patrol because I had a hard time staying under the limit. The six-speed manual transmission performs very well, and second gear has lots of headroom as you accelerate, but offers less compression braking on hills and back roads. The convertible top resembles the Mercedes SLK system, which is complicated and could require maintenance. My only problem is the snug cockpit where my left shin made contact with the bottom of the dashboard when I shifted. This is common in the small roadsters. By the numbers, the 2007 Chrysler Crossfire gets about 17 miles in the city, 25 on the highway, and stickers in California for about $41,000.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Karma Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid-Karma Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Karma Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid-Karma Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Karma Shell at Rio Road and Mid-Karma Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
And let's take a look at traffic. There we go. And we want to mention the fact that we do have Santa Clara County, 152 eastbound after Casa de Fruta, a stalled big rig blocking the left lane. Santa Cruz, it looks like we no major problems there.
Joe Gonzalez, jig is up, dude.
And try again.
That's Porky Pig, and we lost Jason Leopold. Hey, Brian, dial him back, okay? Somewhere during the break, the line was dropped. Anyway, that's my special message to Alberto Gonzalez. Coming up right after the top of the hour, we're going to open up the phone lines in the free speed zone, and we're going to get a couple of reports from Washington, D.C., where Dennis Kucinich has proposed and is planning to introduce articles of impeachment against Dick Cheney. And we're going to hear from the mayor of Nyack, New York, one of the communities that has passed resolutions urging impeachment on the Congress in Washington. And we'll also hear from Bob Furtick later next hour, who is one of the organizers of the whole effort. So that's underway. And, Jason, sorry we dropped your call there.
That's okay.
You missed my little ditty for Alberto Gonzalez, and so I'm going to replay it just for you. So someday he'll get the message.
Brilliant.
Hopefully on Friday at 6 o'clock so I can win a year's supply of Ben & Jerry's. So tell us about the determination to investigate the White House using a team at the White House. This is really brilliant.
The story came out late last night in the Los Angeles Times. It certainly was a very interesting story and an important one. However, you know, the Los Angeles Times, the place where I used to work, left out a really, really important detail in their introduction and their just
their entire presentation of this Office of Special Counsel and how they're going to go after Rove, or at least according to Scott J. Block, who is a special counsel, head of the Office of the Special Counsel, which basically investigates, it's an obscure office, investigates Hatch Act violations, just to be sure that nobody's violating this this law. And that's what they're looking into. However, the Times left out the fact that Scott Block is currently under investigation himself for retaliating against whistleblowers in his organization, a number of different employees. Also, he's being accused of the same violations or the same allegations, rather, that he is going to investigate Roe for, meaning that getting rid of employees to make room for individuals who agreed with his policies.
Mm-hmm.
He's also been accused of an anti-gay bias, according to the Washington Post. So what this does is that, as you know, as your listeners know, Henry Waxman has been doggedly pursuing the testimony of Karl Rove and Harriet Myers. And what this does, at least this is what I believe it's going to do, it's going to allow Karl Rove in the White House to say, well, we have our own investigation. We can't allow Karl Rove to testify or answer any questions while this investigation is underway.
Oh, you bet.
So clearly shutting the door on it. And despite the fact that somebody like Mr. Block says he's not going to leave any stone unturned and that the investigation will, he will follow it wherever it takes him. When you have someone like him who is a Bush appointee being investigated himself for similar allegations, it just really calls into question the integrity of the investigation, as I stated in my story. But more than that, I think it's important to point out that it really does underscore how scandalous not just the White House is, but truly, all the various offices within this administration, plagued by, different scandals of their own.
Mm-hmm.
The General Accounting Accountability Office, Loretta Doan, I think that's her name.
I think you're right.
Who was, involved with this whole thing with Karl Rove. And then you have the Education Department, which we just saw, a report in the Washington Post this past weekend about a key initiative in the No Child Left Behind Act, is under a federal investigation.
Right.
So I think that, Scott Block is going to find his name, soon on the front pages of various newspapers. But, one of the things that he was, that he's been accused of is that he sat on a complaint that at the time, in April 2005, some government watchdogs said that Condoleezza Rice used government funds to travel in support of President Bush's reelection bid,
mm-hmm.
which is something she shouldn't have done. He didn't investigate that. However, he did investigate that John Kerry, who was campaigning for president back at the time, had improperly campaigned in a government workplace.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, he's somebody who used to be part of President Bush's faith-based program.
Right.
It's just people can certainly expect that this would be a whitewash. And your one of your regular guests, Melanie Sloan, said he's absolutely the wrong choice. This is a gross mismanagement of his own office. It would be hard pressed to. That we would be hard pressed to find that there would be a proper investigation into Mr. Rove.
Yeah, and we could expect nothing more from this White House.
But this is certainly a way for the White House to keep Henry Waxman quiet and to just say, hey, we took this into our own hands and we're investigating it ourselves.
Yeah, Jason, just a minute remaining, and you posted a piece yesterday at Truth Out about the true urgency of
right.
the supplemental defense bill to pay for Iraq, and you point out that almost half of this money is not urgently needed for the war in Iraq.
Correct, and this comes directly from a Congressional Research Service report, which has you know, just has so many facts in there showing exactly how the money is being used, what are some of the issues that they are going to be used for. And one thing to point out is that, you know, these emergency supplementals allows the Bush administration, allows the president to bypass congressional scrutiny when you know, ask for money under normal circumstances. And he's using some of the money, which I think the two most important parts here, using some of this money to pay for another carrier to be sent into the Persian Gulf.
Mm-hmm.
We should always be concerned of that, considering our situation with Iran. And for the so-called longer war on terror, which nobody knows what that means.
Jason Leopold, thanks for your hard work. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks, Peter.
Read all about it at truthout.org. I'm Peter B. Collins. Impeachment next.
Pacific Grove Liquors is the one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, spirits, and beers at very reasonable prices. Whether you seek the ideal California or imported wine, quality distilled spirits like top shelf tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and premium vodkas, PG Liquors is your beverage outlet. Love beer? PG Liquors boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales and lagers, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand your wine, beer, and liquor store.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Tired of stale, syndicated right-wing blowhards?
And we are thrilled and honored to have with us Donald Rumsfeld.
You got a bunch of dopey kids watching these shows. Oh, O'Reilly!
Here on KRXA 540, you can hear a fresh, local, liberal blowhard.
And another thing, Coach, you could strip me naked, stake me to an anthill, pour honey all over me, and I still wouldn't vote for a Republican.
Hal, on the show, every morning from 9 to 10, only on KRXA 540. Down in
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Karen Regal. An Army Ranger told a congressional committee that he was told to hide the truth about how former NFL star Pat Tillman died in Afghanistan. It wasn't battling the enemy, as the military first said. Here's CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss.
Army Specialist Brian O'Neill was right next to Tillman when he was killed. He told Congress they both knew it was their own troops firing at them, and he said Tillman was screaming at them to stop.
Stop shooting, you know, over and over and over again, and I could hear the pain that he had in his voice, so I had known that he was hurt at that time.
O'Neill says all of his superiors knew immediately what had happened, but he was ordered not to tell Tillman's brother Kevin, who was also fighting in Afghanistan.
When I was actually able to speak with Kevin, I was ordered not to tell him what happened, sir.
The Army told the family and the public that Tillman died fighting the enemy. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Iraq war hero Jessica Lynch also spoke to lawmakers today, saying her story of heroics in Iraq was something made up by the military. Representative Henry Waxman, chair of the investigating committee, says the military is inventing, quote, sensational details and stories. Meantime, the fight goes on between the Bush administration and congressional Democrats over Iraq war funding.
Cheney went after Reid for declaring the war in Iraq lost last week and for attaching conditions to funding the troops. Then he practically called Reid a flip-flopper.
Senator Reid has gone from pledging full funding for the military, then full funding but with conditions, and then a cutoff of funding.
Minutes later, the normally mild-mannered Reid fired back.
I'm not going to get into a name-calling match with somebody who has a 9% approval rating.
Cheryl Atkinson, CBS News, Capitol Hill. Two prison staffers have been heard after a jailhouse riot in Newcastle, Indiana. The Newcastle House of Corrections can hold up to 2,400 inmates. It's a medium-security prison. The Department of Corrections says all is under control now. For the first time, Toyota has sold more cars than General Motors, and the Japanese company has American car buyers to thank.
Toyota is on a product roll. There is no doubt that more consumers have a higher positive perception of Toyota than virtually any other car company. The only exception to that being Honda. People are buying the products because Toyota builds good products.
Art Spinella is an auto analyst with CNW Marketing Research. Home sales haven't been this slow in a long time. David LeRae is with the National Association of Realtors.
This was not a good report. Sales were way down.
CBS News correspondent Anthony Mason says it's a big fall.
The existing home sales numbers, which came out for March, were down 8%. It's the biggest drop in 18 years. And it's across the board. Every region of the country, existing home sales are down. That's significant because existing home sales are 85% of the home sale market.
The Dow just missed 13,000 today, closing up 34 just under that landmark. This is CBS News.
Running out of ink? Office Depot has over 500 ink and toner products in stock at unbelievable prices. And you can save even more when you buy Office Depot brand versus national brands. Plus, our WorkLife Rewards members earn 10% back on Office Depot brand ink and toner purchases. Don't risk running out of ink and setting your business back. Let Office Depot lend you a hand. Minimum purchase spend required. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Farmers Insurance brings you this important message about the coming storm season. As you know, the best defense... That's why our agents are among the best in the business. It's not just... So be prepared this coming storm season. Call 1-800-FARMERS for an agent near you. That way, you'll be as prepared as...
In the wake of the Virginia Tech massacre, colleges are looking at ways to get information to students faster. One way... text messaging.
With just about everyone carrying a cell phone, sending a text message alert seems even better than sirens, bells, or emails. A manager at America's largest campus, Rhonda Weldon, at University of Texas in Austin, says for a year they've had a mass text system. Cell phones not charged to receive these messages.
There's no cost to the university either. This is all advertisers paying for this service.
Used once so far to warn of a Texas ice storm, Weldon believes, in case of violence, texting all the phones would help a lot. Dan Revive, CBS News.
Your mother was right. Clean your plate. A Michigan man is probably wishing he'd done that. He might not be in jail right now. 40-year-old Norman Wheeler didn't finish the cinnamon bun he'd ordered. Cops swooped in, got his DNA, and arrested him for a 2004 auto theft. Wheeler, by the way, pled guilty. I'm Karen Riegel, CBS News.
Yeah, Dave, Ted here. Hey, tomorrow at 522, a forklift is going to smash right into our conveyor system. Really bust it up good, okay? You should be getting a call about 523. Just wanted to give you a heads up. Thanks.
In your job, you don't get warnings. So Granger's just added a massive amount of material handling products to help get you through whatever the day brings. We're adding products and removing problems. Casters and wheels to carts and conveyors. We have what you need to move, handle, and store just about anything. Call or visit your local branch or go online to Granger.com. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Got a question. What's the worst thing about buying a used car? Could it be the uncertainty of not knowing what you're really getting? Bingo! Now I have an answer. Honda Certified Used Cars. Their well-maintained late-model Hondas each undergoes a 150-point inspection, then is backed with an incredible 7-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty and a 12-month, 12,000-mile limited non-powertrain warranty. Did the comfort level just go up in here? Thought so. Honda Certified Used Cars. It's the next best thing to new.
See dealer for limited warranty details.
Live from San Francisco, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Lively, informative, compelling, progressive talk radio. And it's interactive, too, which is a fancy way of saying he takes your phone calls.
That's right.
Toll free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. Fasten your seatbelt and let's take a ride in Peter B.'s America.
A quick program note. Tomorrow we start the program 3 o'clock Pacific time with Dr. David Ray Griffin. His new book is called Debunking the 9/11 Debunkers. But first, we roll out the free speed zone for you today. Lines are open and the switchboard is totally available. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number. You dial 1-888-573-8372. And if you don't mind my saying so, I think this is a red letter day because impeachment is on the table. Thank you, Congressman Kucinich. Yes, just about 2 hours ago, Congressman Kucinich announced his intention to submit articles of impeachment to the House Judiciary Committee. And they are focused on the Vice President, Richard Cheney. There's a group of elected leaders, activists, and journalists who are gathering tomorrow at noon on the steps of the Capitol to promote the idea of impeachment. Many of them are bringing resolutions calling for impeachment. Yesterday, we talked to Dave Mazur, who used to serve on the Arcata City Council. He's representing Humboldt County and me personally in the event tomorrow. Joining us now is Mayor John Shields, who is the mayor of Nyack, New York. Mayor Shields, thanks for calling in today.
Hi, thank you very much. Nyack, New York, we're a little town just 25 miles north of New York City, but actually a group of our residents came forward with a resolution to impeach Bush and Cheney, and they brought it to our village board, and we passed it unanimously after much discussion and much citizen participation. So in our village, at least, I'm very happy to report this was a grassroots movement from our citizens recognizing what's going on in Washington.
Well, and this is because, number one, the Republicans controlled both the House and the Senate until last November, January, actually, and no bill of impeachment would be considered as long as they had that ironclad control. And so these movements started up, Santa Cruz, Arcata, the city of San Francisco. There's a resolution before the legislature in California. The state senate of Vermont last week voted out a resolution calling for impeachment. And I actually think that these offer a great deal of force and credibility that go beyond the actions of a single member of the House.
I hope so. And I'm glad you mentioned Republicans, because the issue is much bigger than a partisan issue. If it were a partisan issue and we were just fighting Bush and Cheney because we didn't agree with their policies, it wouldn't be worth even doing. But we're really talking about a democracy here. We're talking about saving democracy. We're talking about an administration which does anything it can to support democracy. And in our village, some people spoke out and said it's not a local issue. But in fact, if your phone is being tapped, if your kids are being killed, and your money is being spent on a war instead of on local issues, it really is a local issue. And in terms of a local issue, going back to colonial times, there was always the town meeting where everyone spoke out. And I'm very happy that throughout the country, people are beginning to speak out. And I think it's nonpartisan. We've seen this with Gonzalez, where Republicans are beginning to understand that it has more to do with than just a party issue. It has to do with the country, the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And I think these people shouldn't be called Republicans, the administration. I think they should be called the neo-fascists.
Yeah, well, I certainly agree with you there. We spent some time yesterday with a great pastor from Oklahoma City named Robin Myers, who's written a book called Why the Christian Right is Wrong. And part of it addresses the creeping fascism that's in our country right now and how the elements of fascism, there are about a dozen of them, fit like a glove to the Bush administration. So I'm not at all offended by your use of that term, Mayor Shields. Now,
well, I hope not. It should scare the hell out of everybody what's going on in this country, that one group of people, one small group of people, control all three branches of the government.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you about this. Shortly after Mr. Kucinich announced his intentions, and he had delayed them today. In fact, he delayed them a week. He was planning to announce this last week, and then because of the Virginia Tech incidents, he put it off. And then this morning, he postponed it because he thought Dick Cheney was going to have some serious health problems. He went in for some sort of a checkup at Walter Reed and came back. So Kucinich decided to go forward with it. But shortly after that, Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, dismissed this effort by saying that, you know, it's a waste of time. And, you know, she thinks that Bush and Cheney aren't good enough to be impeached. Well, I take a very different view. What's yours?
I absolutely take a different point of view, because if you're going to say that, what you're doing is setting it up for future presidents to form imperial presidencies. As I said, this has nothing to do with Bush and Cheney per se. This has to do with the establishment of an imperial presidency. And if we let this president get away with it, just as we did with Ronald Reagan and the Iran-Contra, had we impeached him, perhaps we wouldn't be at a point with another president who thinks he can do anything he wants and not have any accountability for it. And I disagree with Nancy Pelosi. She has to have, she must force this administration to have the same accountability that everyone else must have who is attacking the Constitution.
Well, and I don't believe that it's optional. John Nichols, who will be with you tomorrow at the event at the Capitol, has written a powerful book about impeachment.
That's right. Brilliant book.
And I believe that it is our duty to pursue full accountability for the crimes and misdeeds of this administration, their failure to live up to their oaths of office and the trust of the American people, and that we should let that process go where it will, not try to control it as some sort of a political game.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. And it's, you know, it's more than that. I mean, lying to the American people with the result that thousands of people were killed. And you know, now we're involved in newspeak. We're in Iraq because of terrorism. We're in Iraq because of this, that, and the other. The fact is, we were told there were weapons of mass destruction. This was based on not only faulty intelligence, but phony documents coming out of Italy that were used, and the administration used these, England used these, and they knew darn well that these documents were phony. And now we're involved not only in Iraq, but we're involved. Imagine what would happen if our American prisoners were being tortured overseas, what our reaction would be. Imagine if one of our allies was being invaded. I mean, none of this bespeaks of anything having to do with law and order, which is supposed to be the Republicans' primary issue. Law and order, accountability, taking responsibility for what you do. Look, we can't have people over and over again say, I don't remember, I don't remember. Mm. For God's sake, if you can't remember anything, maybe you don't belong in office.
Oh, I think that's a very good point. Now, as the mayor of Nyack, New York, do you have any recollection of the council meeting of last November 27th? Have you ever answered a question by saying, well, my calendar says I had a meeting and that I was there, but I don't remember?
I don't remember, yes. My residents would not be too happy with that kind of an answer.
Yeah.
I mean, I may not be able to say that on November 27th I said such and such, but I can certainly remember that I fought issues having to do with anything from zoning to pooper scooper laws to now the impeachment of the president.
Mm-hmm. And Mayor Shields, what are your plans? Tell us what you're going to be doing. There's this press event tomorrow at noon, and then will you be personally lobbying members of the House Judiciary Committee to take up the bill of impeachment?
Well, I certainly hope to, and I certainly hope to go after Congressman Engel, who is my elected representative, and ask him to pursue this. He owes it to us. And at this point, people have to understand, impeachment is not condemning everyone. Impeachment is simply asking for an investigation. And if there's nothing to hide and no one has anything to fear, no one has done anything wrong, as we've been told over and over again by people in the Republican Party, then why not speak up? What's the big deal?
Mm-hmm. Well, and
I'm just using their words and their philosophy.
And conversely, the Democrats should have nothing to fear because this is a constitutional process that I believe they have a duty to pursue. I don't prejudge any result.
You're absolutely right.
The process is that the House sits essentially as a grand jury and reviews the charges. And if a majority of members of the House agree with the bill of impeachment, then it becomes an indictment and there's a trial in the Senate. And that
absolutely
is a process that we should honor and not obstruct in any way for political partisan reasons of Democrats or Republicans.
Yes, and I don't know what the Democrats are afraid of. I mean, they were afraid to vote against the war. And so, in fact, they're duplicit in this. But many Democrats were afraid to vote against the war. They were afraid to do this, all for political reasons. It's time they recognize that instead of being afraid, they take a leadership role in supporting this country, being patriotic and supporting the Constitution, and maybe people would begin to respect Democrats again.
Yeah. Well, Mayor Shields, thanks for taking the time to talk with us. Thank you for your advocacy of impeachment and representing your constituents there in Washington. And if you get a chance to meet Rocky Anderson, the mayor of Salt Lake City, could you ask him to return our phone calls? We want to talk to him.
Absolutely. I'd be very happy to. Thank you, sir.
Okay, my pleasure.
Good evening.
All right, we're going to open up the phone lines next to hear from you. What's your view of Dennis Kucinich and the articles of impeachment? What is your reaction to Nancy Pelosi saying that, oh, we don't have time for this? We want a Democratic majority and a new president, a Democratic president in 2008, and impeachment might be a distraction from that goal. I'd like to hear your thoughts, and lines are open for you right now, toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. It's the Peter B. Collins Show, where impeachment is on the table. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Every 60 seconds, some 60,000 chemical reactions must take place in every one of the 80 trillion cells of your body. Every one of those reactions requires one enzyme or another as a catalyst, and your body should make those enzymes from our food, but often can't because of decline in food quality. Native enzymes provide those precursors so that your body can make the right enzymes at the right time. Your health depends on it. Call 1-866-972-3461.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in SoCal Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in a friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Ray of frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive and Porter Street in SoCal.
How would you like to stop your taxes from paying for war? You can support the War Tax Option Act, which adds a checkbox to your tax form that stops your taxes from funding war. This frees up your tax money to pay for other vital programs that you care about. For more information, call 831-521-6042 or visit wartaxoption.org.
Good afternoon and a very pleasant good evening, or I should say good evening to everybody. Let's talk a little about what's happening traffic-wise. Got a, well, Salinas, Espinosa Road at Highway 183. There's a railroad crossing. Apparently the arms are going up and down, and guess what, folks? There's no train in sight. So as a result of this, you can expect pretty sizable delays. Also want to tell you about a major problem in the Bay Area. 880 northbound after Tennyson Road in Hayward. All lanes have been reopened following a multiple vehicle crash, but traffic is very slow from Thornton Avenue in Fremont. Monterey southbound 1 between Irish Canyon and Aguajito. The right lane closed for guardrail repair from 9 a.m. to noon, and that is through the 23rd of April. No problems on Highway 17 to report, which is always good news. Other than that, this report is brought to you by American Express, who is offering exclusive travel packages at 9 sought-after destinations.
The Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. I remain your humble host, Peter B., and we're taking your calls in the free speech zone. Got a bunch of lines open, so don't be shy. Jump on the phone now. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Do you support the Kucinich Bill of Impeachment against Dick Cheney? It's based on the lies that led us into Iraq, the torture policy, and other prevarications at Gitmo and Abu Ghraib, and a measure related to the intention to attack Iran. 888-573-8372. The other top story today, the emotional testimony from Kevin Tillman before Henry Waxman's Oversight and Government Reform Committee in the House today. We played a clip from that earlier and then talked, it was difficult for me. Karen Meredith talked very courageously about the loss of her son, Lieutenant Ken Ballard, and how it took 15 months for the Army to tell her the truth about how and why her son died. And it's tragic, it's ugly, it's un-American, and I hope that the Tillman story is going to capture many Americans who haven't been paying attention or who are turned off and just ducking a lot of these issues right now. So if you want to comment on that, bring it on. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B. Richard in Eureka, thanks for calling. You're up first. Hi, Richard.
Hi, Peter. How are you doing today?
I'm doing okay.
It's really great to speak to you again. Listen, man, clue me in a little bit on what's going on with this Kucinich thing. I, for one, am all for the impeachment of Cheney, but I think we should, you know, you said the other day a twofer. I think we should be going for a threefer. You know, Gonzalez also.
Uh-huh.
Tell me a little bit about it, because I missed it.
Well, first of all, the strategy of going after Cheney first is that under the constitutional amendment of presidential succession, I think it's the 25th.
Right. I know all that stuff. But
Cheney would succeed Bush if you impeach him.
Right.
I don't believe there is a precedent for trying to go for the twofer of impeaching them simultaneously.
What about the threefer? No precedent for that either. And what's going on with Pelosi, whom I kind of like her. I do. I have great respect for her. But what is going on with her unwillingness to proceed with this stuff?
I don't understand it. Because, as I have said on many occasions, impeachment is a process, and it won't go to completion if there isn't evidence to support the charges.
Exactly.
So I don't know why the Democrats are reluctant on this at all.
I don't either. And you know what? This is another day, I'm sorry to say, that I'm a little ashamed to be a Democrat. I mean, in the past I've called up and said, you know, look, if they don't start doing something, I'm going to leave the party. But, you know, I mean, really, where is the spine? Where is the backbone? Why aren't the Democrats stepping up? I mean, they've gained some power, okay,
mm-hmm.
And the smackback is not going to be as harsh as it was before. And, okay, the media, you know, that's another aspect of it, but... You know, do you know what I'm saying, Peter?
I sure do. And, Richard, let me share a little story with you about, it's almost 2 years ago now. I was talking with Cindy Sheehan the day before she went to Crawford to set up the first Camp Casey. And she talked about impeachment, and I told her that I think they deserve it, but I didn't think that practically it was possible. And that, of course, was when we had a Republican-controlled House and Senate.
Right, and I would have agreed with you back then.
And she appropriately lectured me about that. And she said, Peter, you've got to start somewhere. And you cannot look at what you think is the vote count today and say that's what would be the vote count at the end of a process.
Right.
And if we go back, you know, the last president to be impeached for a good reason was Richard Nixon. And
that was a good reason.
And the charges never actually got out of the House Judiciary Committee because he saw the handwriting on the wall and resigned rather than having to face it.
Exactly.
So I believe that the Democrats have a responsibility, that this is not any kind of an optional call for them. It's not a political issue. It is a constitutional issue.
And an issue of law and justice. And, Peter, I'm right on there with you.
All right.
I'd like to see them stand up and do it. And just one more thing, from the beach in Eureka, it's a beautiful day.
Oh, great. Thanks for sharing that.
All right.
We're trapped indoors, but I'm glad you're out on the beach. Cindy in Monterey.
Hey, Peter. How about a shout-out to Beanie?
Yeah.
You call him Benny, but He's really a bean. You know, maybe Bush is just too well connected to be impeached. His mom owns all the prisons, and he might be too mentally ill to stand trial for any crime. And it's just, it's all crap as far as I'm concerned.
Well, the one thing he would not be able to do, at least as far as I know, is to pardon himself. I think he could pardon Cheney for almost anything.
And they can be found guilty in absentia, so if he does make a getaway to Paraguay, Uruguay, wherever.
Paraguay,
he could still be found. We need to, you know, redeem ourselves in the world opinion of ourselves as Americans.
I think you're right. It's a cathartic purge that could help on many levels, domestically, internationally. We need to show the world that we recognize that
humanity.
This administration has gone awry and that we are going to bring it back on track.
Yes, we need to start looking out for humanity and not just special interest. And you know, what you feel you didn't get a chance to mention was that one of the signs of narcissism is unusual eating habits, like they eat dirt and rock and dog food, and they have a, you know, strange taste in the food.
And some of them choke on pretzels, too. Thanks, Cindy.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
We got to take a break. More of your calls coming up next. The switchboard's wide open. Tell me what you think. Impeachment? And about the Kevin Tillman testimony today on Capitol Hill. 888-573-8372. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Attention all
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area.
About
this is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974. Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Join me, Deborah Lindsay, each Sunday afternoon at 2 for Tomorrow Matters. We'll be matching the global problems of today with the local solutions for a better tomorrow. I'll bring in the guests, and you call with the questions and ideas, and collectively we'll set the standards for a more sustainable future, because for all of us, tomorrow matters. Join me right here on KRXA 540 AM for Tomorrow Matters each Sunday at 2.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
In these United States, you have many rights. You have rights to assemble. You have the right to free speech in a free speech zone. You have the right to an attorney. You have the right to a speedy trial. Well, not if you're in Guantanamo. You have the right to privacy. No, wait. No, the FBI can read your mail and listen to your phone calls. America, where are your rights? Join Billy Sunshine, and we'll find them for you.
The Billy Sunshine Show, right here on KRXA 540 AM, Sundays 3 to 5.
There's more than one side to every issue. Actually, there's usually more than two sides. It's important to get a different perspective on issues and current events, and that's what we'll provide you on Thursday nights at 10 on KRXA 540. Our show is called, appropriately enough, A Different Perspective. I'm Jack Quirk, and I'm your host. I have guests with a unique angle on current issues. I'm often joined by Phil Ropp and other guest co-hosts who bring their own expertise to our discussions. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for A Different Perspective here on KRXA 540.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. We're in the free speech zone, taking your calls toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. This is the program where impeachment is on the table. Get what you want
until you know what you want.
Until you know what you want. And here's a man who's known what he's wanted for several years now, the founder of ImpeachPack.org, as well as Democrats.com. He's involved in AfterDowningStreet.org. Bob Furtick. Hey, Bob, welcome to the program today.
Thank you. Great to be with you.
Well, this is quite a day, and Congressman Kucinich finally did what we've been hoping for quite some time now. He acknowledged that he will introduce articles of impeachment against Vice President Cheney.
He has done so. It has a bill number, HRES 333, and they're really quite extraordinary, the three articles of impeachment that he introduced.
Right. The first two relate to going into Iraq on the phony intel related to WMD. And the lack of the connection that they argued between 9/11 and Saddam Hussein. And the third relates to kind of a preventive measure related to Iran. Explain that one.
Well, Dennis Kucinich really was driven to this impeachment by his concern about an invasion of Iran. Iran is, of course, three times larger than Iraq. We've not gotten, you know, the cost to the United States due to Iraq has been unbelievable, and invading Iran would just be three times worse.
Mm-hmm.
So he's quite clear that Iran has never threatened the United States, and our threats to invade them are in violation of the UN Charter and therefore U.S. law.
Mm-hmm. And so when will he formally refer these articles to the House Judiciary Committee, Bob?
Well, they have been introduced, so I believe it's a technical process by which they go to the Judiciary Committee. It's now up to the people of the country to persuade the House Judiciary Committee, which is led, of course, by John Conyers,
mm-hmm.
Detroit, to hold hearings on these articles of impeachment. We can't let them just sit there and be neglected.
Right. Now, Pelosi, the Speaker, gave a statement that she thinks that, impeachment would be a distraction, that it's too good for Bush and Cheney. She's dismissive of it, and I'm quite disappointed in those comments. I was hoping that she would shift her posture and say, well, I will not stop it.
Well, we would like her to do that. She will be in California in San Diego on the 28th, this Saturday, for the state Democratic Committee meeting. And
mm-hmm.
a large group of progressive activists led by Progressive Democrats of America will be there urging her to support impeachment. They're going to persuade her state's Democratic Party to adopt a resolution supporting impeachment. It's only a matter of time. Nancy Pelosi is just one member of Congress. We need the House Judiciary Committee, we need John Conyers, we need the Democrats on that committee to act on this. Nancy Pelosi may be the last person to support it, but we can pass it without her support.
Mm-hmm. And does Conyers have the independence, or will he assert the independence to proceed without the blessing of his speaker?
Again, that depends on us. It's in our hands. If we can persuade the Democrats on the House Judiciary Committee, that includes several members from California, like Howard Berman of Los Angeles and Adam Schiff, if we can get these people on board, people like Maxine Waters, who's been one of the strongest supporters of impeachment in private, then it will take on a momentum of its own. It will take on a life of its own. And John Conyers, in his heart, wants to impeach Cheney and Bush. He just needs a mass movement behind it for him to feel safe doing it.
Mm-hmm. Great. So tell us about the events planned for tomorrow, Bob Furtick.
Well, we're going to be in Washington, D.C. We're going to be in front of the Capitol. We're going to have people like Daniel Ellsberg and the mayor of Nyack, New York.
He was just with us a few minutes ago, yeah, John Shields.
John Shields and Rocky Anderson from Salt Lake City. We're going to have state senators like Eric Omig from Washington, who introduced the impeachment resolution up there, poets and actors and former government officials, intelligence officials, all kinds of people. This is not just what we like to call in the Internet, you know, dirty hippies. This is a movement that has the support of people of impeccable credentials, who understand the Constitution, who understand American history, who understand the crimes of the administration.
And I'll just add two names. Each has written a powerful book about impeachment. Dave Lindorf, who co-authored a book with Barbara Olshansky of the Center for Constitutional Rights. And John Nichols, who was with us just last week. He writes for The Nation, and he wrote a very powerful book about impeachment. And in wrapping up here, Bob Furtick, I take a point from John Nichols. And that is that impeachment is a constitutional obligation. It is not an optional political tactic.
Well, that's right. If we want a democracy, we have to fight for it. We know what crimes have been committed. If we allow George Bush and Dick Cheney to get away with them, we're just inviting the next president and the one after that to do even worse things. So we have to stand up. It's our obligation as citizens. It's not a spectator sport being a citizen of the United States, of the greatest democracy in the history of the world.
And you raised money through Impeach PAC for the 2006 election cycle. Do you have any people who took the pledge for impeachment who are in a position to help here?
Yes, we have freshman Keith Ellison from
Minnesota.
From Minnesota, mm-hmm. And we're very optimistic that he will join Dennis Kucinich and be one of the first to co-sponsor these articles of impeachment.
Great. Well, Bob, thank you very much, and don't stop.
Thank you.
All right. Good to talk to you.
All right.
All righty. And while we were talking there, Richard called back. He was on earlier, and he said, is there any way for the Republicans to block the impeachment? Well, the answer is that they can throw up procedural roadblocks in the committee. But as you heard, John Conyers chairs that committee. And unless he is blocked by his leadership, Nancy Pelosi and others, I don't think the Republicans can block hearings on impeachment. Then, of course, it has to get voted out of the committee and onto the floor, and then the entire House has to vote on the articles. And at that point, it's hard to judge how many Democrats would favor it and exactly what the split would be in a vote on the House floor. So that's what I can tell you about that. Next, we go to Santa Cruz, and Jan's on the line. Thanks for holding, Jan. You're on the air.
Hi, Peter B.
Hello.
Nice to talk with you. Concerning the effort to initiate impeachment proceedings,
mm-hmm.
I think that we ought to give Nancy Pelosi a little slack.
Okay.
Because my impression is that she does not want to look like she's being self-serving and that this is just a power grab.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm correct in understanding that she would be next in line.
Only if you were able to simultaneously impeach Bush and Cheney.
Right, and that's what the proposal is.
No.
The
Kucinich proposal is aimed solely at Vice President Cheney.
I see.
And this was a tactical move because if you impeached Bush first, then Cheney would succeed, and that's not necessarily an improvement.
Right. Okay.
And this way, what would likely happen, let's imagine that this goes forward and Cheney is actually impeached, which means there is a trial in the Senate, and then we have to imagine that there are enough votes to remove him. That's not a slam dunk. I believe it takes a two-thirds majority in the Senate to convict, and so that would be a tough benchmark to exceed. But if that did happen, then the vice presidency would be vacated and Bush would be permitted to appoint a replacement subject to Senate confirmation. And so that, in that respect, I understand your point, and I do empathize with Pelosi in terms of her posture on impeachment last year, during the election campaign and before the Democrats had taken control of the House. It would have been presumptuous, and it would have supplied a very ripe political target to Karl Rove, to be openly advocating impeachment as a reason to elect Democrats last year. But since they've won the majority, if she called me and asked for some free advice, I'd say, Nancy, you just need to modify your position and say, if the Congress wants to impeach, I will not stand in the way.
Right.
And that way the process can go forward, investigations can be conducted. And if there is broad enough support for it, it would happen. And if not, I think it would have the beneficial political impact of putting a leash on this administration.
Right.
And keeping them from launching any more military adventures.
Well, thanks for that clarification, Peter B. And I hope that they proceed with the impeachment process.
Me
over
too.
Over her resistance.
Yeah. And I hope that her resistance is just a political ploy.
Yeah.
But I don't know that for a fact.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for your call, Jan.
Thanks.
Okay, now to Jake in Arcata. Hello, Jake.
Hey, Peter B., how's it going?
Well, this is a day of progress.
That's right. And, you know, Dennis Kucinich, that's the guy who we should all vote for president, by the way. That's my opinion. I mean, on all these issues, Kucinich is standing up. All these other Democrats are heading for the hills. You know, but I do have sympathy for Nancy Pelosi and the situation she's in. You know, as the leader of the Democrats in the House, she does have to take into account the opinions of the conservative blue dogs, like her own congressman up here, Mike Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and these congressmen like Mike Thompson are totally opposed to impeachment. They have been from the beginning. They are afraid of the right wing and of the right wing media. And a lot of these Democrats have gone to office by, you know, kowtowing to the right wing media, by being a Democrat that's not objectionable to right wing Republicans, as Mike Thompson clearly isn't.
Mm-hmm.
And what you see with Pelosi, unfortunately, you know, I do agree with you. You know, back before the election 2006, you know, politically it did make sense to not be out front about impeachment. But here we are, you know, the Democrats took control in a landslide. The public clearly does not want Bush to remain in office. If you look at the polls, the pro-impeachment position has become the majority position in the country. So we have to ask ourselves, what are these so-called leaders of the Democratic Party afraid of, and why, as Democrats, do we allow these so-called leaders to stop what the country needs, what the Constitution demands? And Peter, you're right. This isn't optional. Impeachment is the duty of the Congress.
Well, and we saw the process abused by the Republicans during the Clinton administration. That was a political game. That was all politics. And it was simply the culmination of the millions of dollars that Richard Mellenscaife invested to try to unseat Bill Clinton. And certainly Clinton gave him the ammunition, you know, he gave him the blue dress and lied before a grand jury, which ultimately did lead to, unfortunately, what are narrowly legitimate articles of impeachment that were lodged against Bill Clinton. The Senate had the good judgment not to remove him. However, if that trigger was enough to consider impeachment, then there should be no further deliberations about whether impeachment is appropriate in this context. And again, when I say impeachment, I'm talking about the House returning an indictment, conducting an investigation, and accusing this administration of specific crimes. And that's the step that I support. And then if they properly enumerate those crimes, which you and I are already persuaded about, Jake, we don't need much more evidence, but they need to do it properly and in a way that an objective individual could say, yes, they met the test here, they met the burdens of proof, and this administration, whether it's Cheney or Bush, does warrant the impeachment process, and they should stand trial. I am in favor of taking it step by step, and I cannot understand at this stage why the Democrats think that that is not a wise approach.
Yeah, you're right, Peter. Obviously, and unfortunately, there aren't too many profiles in political courage these days in Washington, D.C. Dennis Kucinich, of course, is the exception, and he has my support for the presidency. And I got to tell you, I again, you know, just like you, Peter, do not understand why these Democrats in Washington are still so afraid of the Republicans in the Bush administration. You know, clearly Bush and Cheney both deserve to be impeached. The proof is there. You know, as far as the debate goes, that's pretty much over. These guys are war criminals. Everyone except a few right-wing Republicans now knows that. So what are we going to do? Are we going to just let the fears of a few Democratic leaders in Washington keep us from doing this?
We
need to get it done, Peter.
Thanks for your call, Jake. And I want to put the question out there. I've got room for two more callers before the end of the hour. If you can explain to me good reasons why the Democrats should not pursue impeachment, I want to hear them. I really do. And I don't care your politics, Republican, Democrat, liberal, conservative, progressive, whatever you call yourself. If you can give me good, solid reasons why the Democrats should not pursue impeachment, as I just described, call me now. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. We'll continue right after this break on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything's a taste you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a pillar affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus stew. A side of couscous and a baba ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery. In PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey. PG.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
Yeah, let's take a look at traffic. We got a problem working right now in Salinas. At least CHP telling us about, Espinosa Road at 183. You still got those darn railroad arms that are going up and down, and there's no train in sight, and so that can obviously create a rather big problem. Highway 17, checking in there, no problems to report. Although Greenfield, northbound 101 at Underwood, we have a large piece of metal. It is in the second lane from the right. And in Hollister, 156 at 25, several large boxes are in the lanes. And apparently vehicles may have to actually, they're swerving around those boxes. So heads up there, CHP on the way to the scene. They may have to do a round robin to get those boxes out of the roadway. This report brought to you by American Express. That's traffic on KRXA.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. If you just joined us, a couple of developments. Dennis Kucinich, congressman from Ohio, Democratic candidate for president, has introduced articles of impeachment, House Resolution 333, aimed at Vice President Cheney. And I want to mention one more time, tomorrow, our lead guest in the 3 o'clock Pacific hour, David Ray Griffin, man who's been a very credible leader of the 9/11 truth movement, and he's got a powerful new book that I'm going to try to work through tonight called Debunking the 9/11 Debunkers. 888-5-PETER-B. We're talking about the impeachment issue, and I've asked for callers who can explain why Democrats think impeachment is not a good idea right now. And Hina is calling from Aptos. Good evening. Welcome, Hina.
Hi, Peter B. Thank you, first of all, for all that you do. I love to listen to you.
Well, thank you, and thanks for calling. Tell me what your thoughts are.
My thoughts are this. I think that Pelosi, that this is a strategic plan. I think that if we go for impeachment, or if Pelosi goes for impeachment, that it'll be a tremendous distraction. Waxman and a lot of the senators and congresspeople are doing a lot of investigations.
Mm-hmm.
So this piece-by-piece approach could eventually culminate in impeachment. But if we go straight for impeachment, it'll become like a dogfight with impeachment as the flag, and the Republicans are so good at that. So I think tearing them apart piece by piece, continuing to put pressure on Pelosi, continuing to do the investigations is a good strategy.
All right. I hear you, and I can understand it up to a point. But, again, number one, to take your comments, I don't believe that it would be an overwhelming distraction. I think it would be more of a distraction for the Republicans than the Democrats, and because they're the ones who have to play defense. And the offense is pretty well set. We've got Elizabeth de la Vega's book. We've got the investigations that John Conyers started a year and a half ago. I agree with you that Waxman's work and others can lead to evidence that could be pay dirt in any kind of accountability proceedings. My point is that to specifically say that impeachment is, you know, not on the table or is not going to be permitted by this speaker is a major misjudgment in my view. Again, impeachment to me means that we take the first two steps. The Judiciary Committee reviews the bill of impeachment, presumably votes out with a partisan majority the bill to the floor, and then it's unclear how many Democrats would ultimately support it, and if any Republicans would support it. But I think that we should permit that process to go forward. If not, we're really aiding and abetting criminals and pulling our punches and saying, well, we're not going to prosecute because, well, we have ulterior motives. We want a Democratic majority in both houses in 2008, and we want to win the White House, and we think that impeachment might get in the way of that. I don't find that acceptable, Hina.
Well, you know, I really agree with you on most points. The place that I don't agree with you is we don't have the media. So if it becomes a dogfight in the media, the Democrats keep coming out losers. And if so, what all I'm talking about really is timing. And even if Pelosi keeps saying what she's saying, if Kucinich did a wonderful move today, if we keep calling, if the public keeps pressuring for and picking up the momentum,
mm-hmm.
then we'll have, you know, the done deal. It's, for me, it's a matter of timing and strategy, and I think it's great that it's coming out in the public. And I'd like to see what the mainstream is saying about Dennis's proposal. I bet you it's not coming out on the front pages.
No, you're probably right. Your comments on the media, I think, are appropriate.
Right.
And still, we need leaders who will stand up and challenge the media to do the right job and who will punch back when Bill O'Reilly and, you know, Sean Hannity attack them on television. We need to stand up and fight and not just hunker down and say, oh, we'd like to fight, but we might get hurt.
Just a pitch for the media. Bill Moyers is doing a wonderful special on PBS, if people haven't heard about it, and it's all about waking the media up.
Tomorrow night. 90-minute special, yep. I'll be watching. Thank you, Hina.
Thanks for the time, and thanks for being on the air.
Oh, it's what I need to do. Otherwise, I'd be in...
You're one of my favorites, Peter B.
Well, thanks, Hina. If I didn't do this, I'd be down the hall in therapy. Steve in Watsonville, thanks for calling.
Peter, I'd like to put in a good word for Jesse Jackson. But first, I'd like to encourage all listeners in your area to call the respective congresspersons, Nancy, Tom Lantos, McInerney, for me, Sam Farr, whoever, mm-hmm. and urge them to support Dennis Kucinich, you know, move.
I agree. And also, people can go to San Diego this weekend for the state Democratic convention, because a lot of progressives are gathering there, and they're going to push impeachment through the state convention.
Now, speaking of progressives, I'd just like to point out that there was an earlier caller that was slamming Jesse Jackson because he's saying, oh, anything Jesse Jackson does, you know, then that's not cool. And therefore, you know, like he felt sympathy for Don Imus. I got to just say that whenever I hear an attack on Jesse Jackson, it's always about something personal. I've never once heard Jesse Jackson's policies and programs attacked. You know,
well,
people
Steve,
attack him, always attack him for some kind of, you know, a character thing or,
well,
you know, like, a, you know.
Steve, I don't have time to go into it today, but my history with Jesse Jackson goes back to Chicago in the 1970s. I know a lot about the guy. He's a complex figure, and he's also a camera hog who often gets pushback because of his own publicity seeking. But I got to run. Thank you for joining us, and we'll be back at you tomorrow. As I mentioned, David Ray Griffin leads off our show at 3.
You got cooking. How's about cooking something up with me?
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's ready?
That's right. Dinner's ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Karen Riegel. Members of Congress heard about the death of Army Ranger and former NFL player Pat Tillman today. What they heard was not the same as what the military said when Tillman was killed in Afghanistan. Here's CBS News correspondent David Martin.
Kevin Tillman, a member of the same Ranger platoon that went through this narrow Afghan canyon on the day Pat Tillman was killed, heaped scorn on the medal posthumously awarded to his brother.
To further exploit Pat's death, he was awarded the Silver Star for valor. There was one small problem with the narrative, however. It was utter fiction.
Specialist Brian O'Neill was with Tillman and knew at once the incoming fire was coming from their own men.
I could hear Pat calling, stop shooting, Pat Evan Tillman, stop shooting, you know, over and over and over again.
Yet he was ordered by an officer not to tell how Tillman died.
Team Bush and Team Democrats not losing pace as they fight over Iraq war funding. Vice President Dick Cheney says Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid's comments that the vice president doesn't help the White House out by standing by the war are out of line.
What's most troubling about Senator Reid's comments yesterday is his defeatism. Indeed, last week he said the war is already lost. the timetable legislation that he is now pursuing would guarantee defeat.
Senator Reid didn't bite.
I'm not going to get into a name-calling match with the administration's chief attack dog.
Congress will likely pass a bill this week linking Iraq funding to troop withdrawal deadlines. Ohio Congressman Dennis Kucinich says it's time to impeach Vice President Dick Cheney.
Kucinich, who's running for the Democratic presidential nomination, unveiled three proposed articles of impeachment. Two accuse Cheney of lying to push the U.S. into war with Iraq. A third accuses him of pressing now for war against Iran. A reporter asked, why not seek to remove George W. Bush from office?
Because if we were to start with the president and pursue articles of impeachment, Mr. Cheney would then become president.
Kucinich says he represents millions of Americans, but the Democratic leaders in Congress say they won't be pushing for any impeachment hearings. Dan Revive, CBS News, Washington.
It's good news for Toyota, not so much for General Motors. The Japanese car company, for the first time, is selling more cars than GM.
Shed a tear. It's the end of an era.
Keith Crane edits Automotive News Magazine.
It's a sad day for American manufacturing.